Well, what is up, all of our liberty-loving friends? This is another fantastic episode of Liberty at Night with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network, coming at you from Nashville, Tennessee, on this beautiful Tuesday. Beautiful. Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. With fees of less than a penny per transaction, Dash is made for spending. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol and in multi-crypto wallets. And thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month for this sponsorship. It's easy to get and use Dash. You can learn more at dash.org. That's dash.org. Well, this is, as I said, Liberty at Night, but of course, every single day of the week, Charlie and I do Good Morning Liberty. So if you want to find our daily podcast, you can search Good Morning Liberty on your favorite podcast app or go to BernieLies.com in your browser. Anyhow, first story, let's do some fear-mongering real quick. Are you ready for, are you scared yet? Are you scared yet?
I've been terrified.
Mm-hmm. It's a little too late for a pre-election pandemic.
I live my life in fear.
It's a little too late for a pre-election pandemic, I think. I don't think we can spin it up really that quick, but maybe we can.
No, they spun it up in March of 2020.
Oh,
this is April of 2020, so we're just a few weeks, only a couple weeks.
Got to get those mail-in ballots going. You know,
did you notice the weird numbers in Texas? I haven't looked into it, and they took it down, by the way. I tried to look it up. It's now been taken down, which is suspicious.
I saw that's been debunked.
Has it been debunked? Because I tried to look into it, and I couldn't.
I saw stories debunking because Elon Musk had reposted it, and then I watched Tim Pool do a whole 30 minutes on it where they talked about how they didn't know what it meant, but here's what it could mean. And so they talked about what it could mean for half an hour, you know. That kind of thing that we don't do, but anyhow, the numbers, they could be bad when it comes just to the Social Security thing is what they were talking about for registered voters. On one hand, there's a lot of explanations for why the numbers could be what they are. On the other hand, I'm one phone call away from a guy that can get you a Social Security number. Okay. It's a very common thing that happens.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to tell you why or how, but it happens a lot. Most of the time, you know, it's for a dead person and you can get it. You can assume their legal identity if you want for an extremely small fee.
So you know Andy Dufresne?
Andy Dufresne, yeah. That's who I know. What was the name of the guy that he created?
Stevens.
I don't remember what his name is now.
Dang it.
Okay, bird flu pandemic.
Is it Randall Stevens?
Randall Stevens.
That's Randall Stevens.
Yep.
Silent partner.
Bird flu pandemic could be 100 times worse than COVID. COVID times 100.
Mm.
Scientists are warning.
Why is there a picture of cows there?
Because someone got sick from a Gallardon cow.
Oh.
From what I could tell.
Even though it's a bird flu.
Yeah, go ahead, Charlie. Explain why there's a picture of a cow.
A bird flu. There's no mention of cow so far. A bird flu pandemic with the potential to be 100 times worse than COVID may be on the horizon after a rare human case was discovered in Texas. Experts have warned.
Experts.
The H5N1 avian flu has spread rapidly since the new strain was detected in 2020, affecting wild birds in every state as well as in commercial poultry and backyard flocks. But has now even been detected in mammals with cattle herds. Oh,
there's the cow.
Across four states becoming infected. And on Monday, federal health officials announced that a dairy worker in Texas caught the virus. This virus has been on the top of the pandemic list for many, many years and probably decades. Dr. Kuchipudi.
That actually is, I think that's right.
Dr. Kuchipudi. A bird flu researcher from Pittsburgh.
At first, I thought you were making it up, and then I read it, and
that's Coochie Pooty. It's Dr. Coochie Pooty to you. Now, this seems like a doctor that would study bird flu.
Yeah.
You know?
I'll listen to anything Coochie Pooty says.
Dr. Coochie Pooty. Oh, man. And of course, he works with teats. You know?
Yes, exactly.
He's a bird flu researcher. This is the important part from Pittsburgh. He said at a recent panel discussing the issue, quote, and now we're getting dangerously close to this virus potentially causing a pandemic. He noted that the H5N1 virus has already been detected in species throughout the world and has shown the ability to infect a range of mammalian hosts, including humans, those Homo sapiens.
Mm.
So therefore, in my view, I think this is a virus that has the greatest pandemic threat that is playing out in plain sight and globally present.
Mm.
Kuchipudi said.
What are we going to do to stop this, you think?
I think we need to interview Dr. Kuchipudi.
Yeah, I'll get him on. We'll get him on. I want Kuchipudi on the show tomorrow.
What a name. What a name.
John Fulton, he's got a more normal name. He's got stuff to say, too.
Yeah, this can't listen to this guy.
He's a pharma consultant.
Pharmaceutical industry consultant for vaccines and the founder of Canada-based BioNiagara, who organized the meeting, also expressed his concerns. Of course he did.
Uh-huh.
They've already got the vaccine for this one, I bet.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, BioNiagara. Quote, this appears to be 100 times worse than COVID. How do they even know that?
I'm not sure.
Or it could be if it mutates and maintains its high case fatality rate.
It could be 100 times worse if it changes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I gotcha. Okay. He says, once it's mutated to infect humans, we can only hope the fatality rate drops.
Mm.
So there is a, you know, if it's mutating to infect humans now, I guess that's bad. I don't like that.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of it. Mm-hmm. I was mad enough about the cows. And now we got it. You know, maybe mutating to affect humans also.
I was upset about the birds.
I know the birds aren't real.
Yeah.
No matter what Kuchipudi says.
Mm.
So
you hate birds, don't mm-hmm. you?
I hate birds.
Put bird feed on their bug zappers.
We got some stats.
Okay. Around 52% of humans who have contracted H5N1 since 2003 have died, according to the World Health Organization. That's 50-50, man.
First off, everyone needs to know that you need to join the Fed Haters Club, joingml.com. They're cracking me up. And so first off, the Alan Jackson song, you know, Dr. Kuchipudi, you know, you got that one.
Uh-huh.
And then 100 times worse than COVID, we could just call it COVID-1900. It's pretty good. Okay, anyhow.
That is good. Well, they're saying that of the humans who have contracted this virus, 52% of them have died. Now, how many have gotten it?
I don't know.
For comparison, COVID currently kills less than 0.1% of those it infects. Who would have come up with that percentage? Though at the start of the pandemic, the fatality rate was around 20%.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah. That was of the people we knew that had it.
Yeah, that's you just didn't know about the asymptomatic people and all that.
And you couldn't test, mm-hmm. by the way.
Mm-hmm.
It was basically like you had to give your firstborn to get a test.
Mm-hmm.
Symptoms of the vert, even for healthcare workers, by the way, because I was married to one that couldn't even get a test in 2020. All right. Some people may not develop noticeable symptoms, but others can develop a severe life-threatening pneumonia. The dairy worker in Texas who was infected has reported eye redness consistent with conjunctivitis as their only symptom. The patient was told to isolate and is being treated with an antiviral drug for the flu. We don't know if that's Allen Iverson or not.
I got you. Around 52% of humans who contracted it have died, they said. I mean, this guy's pretty
Since
lucky.
Since 2003,
just had
20 years.
Just had red eyes. Mm. All you got to do is get some clear eyes for that.
Watch this. Watch
took
him,
care of it.
No, watch him turn into a zombie, though.
Ooh, that's true.
Starts
that
in the
could
eyes.
Happen.
The agency told the whole U.S. government is taking the situation very seriously. CDC Director Mandy Cohen told the Washington Post, not that we can trust the CDC, but...
Mm-mm. Or the Washington Post.
She maintained that the virus does not pose...
I don't think
much
the conversation ever happened, honestly.
She is claiming that the virus does not pose much of a risk to the general public, so you can go visit, you know, you can go visit Chinatown and New York and stuff.
Yeah, everyone's welcome. Come visit the dairy farms.
Yeah.
That is an interesting... It's interesting how the... I don't want to say conspiracy theories, but how does all change? Remember at the beginning of COVID, it was, there's nothing to worry about. Yeah, this is fine.
Donald Trump is xenophobic for banning travel from China.
This doesn't spread to humans. China said that it doesn't spread to humans.
You can go to Chinatown in New York.
Don't be xenophobic, like you said earlier. Mm-hmm. All that stuff.
Nancy Pelosi, everyone was out there saying this is nothing to fear.
And so right now it's following the course because now the reason this works is because later on in COVID, the government was like, oh my God, everybody panic. Everybody panic. No one is safe. Mm-hmm. Stay in your house. That kind of thing. And so now when the government's saying, well, there's nothing to worry about, well, you should take that very seriously because they're the ones who were saying that you should panic about COVID. And so now they're saying, don't worry about this. Well, there must not be anything to worry about because these are people who panic about viruses. But you got to remember at the beginning,
they said that 4 years ago.
They said, don't worry about it. So I don't know. Which way does our conspiracy theory go? Is this a major problem and they're trying to hide it? Or is this not a major problem and they're just trying to scare people right now? I don't know. Whichever one, the government's lying, I can tell you that.
Yeah. Here's something interesting, though. Quote, we have not seen avian flu in cattle prior to last week.
Wow.
So that is new. It is a reservoir for the virus to circulate and potentially change. If the virus does mutate enough to infect humans, it could spread rapidly. If the H5N1 influenza virus viruses acquire the ability to spread efficiently among humans, large-scale transmission could occur due to the lack of immune defenses against H5 viruses in humans.
Okay.
Well. So, anyway. But have no fear. Have no fear because to prevent any potential spread, the U.S. is already testing components used to create a vaccine for the virus. And two candidate vaccine viruses appear to be well matched to protect against H5N1, the Washington Post reports. So
there we go.
That, you know, when you're getting your 12th COVID booster, just go ahead and ask for the H5N1 vaccine, and then you'll be protected for life.
Got to get your bird flu shots. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of sad that I consider this presidential election in 2024 to be the first. It's the first presidential election in my mind since COVID. Now, I know that COVID was going on and had just started before the election. We had lockdowns and stuff like that. But then we went into even further things like vaccine mandates and mask mandates and stuff like that in 2021. And, you know, stuff really got a lot worse in my mind once Biden took over. Now,
and then it disappeared.
Lockdowns lifted and stuff like that. Then it disappeared. And it's COVID's almost.
And now the CDC is saying to treat it like the flu.
Yeah. What's weird to me is that COVID's almost not being talked about in this election. And this is like now we've seen how the government handled COVID. And we saw that Biden tried to force people to get the vaccine. He tried to mandate that either you had to choose between your job at the private corporation and getting this vaccine that was not even proven to stop you from getting the virus or to stop you from spreading it to other people. And he tried to mandate that to everyone who worked for a company that had over 100 employees. And it was only the Supreme Court that stopped him. And no one is talking about that, including us. It's not an election. It's not a campaign piece. You're not going to do an ad about COVID stuff. It's like it's already been memory-holed by everyone. Isn't that weird?
It is weird.
This is the first time we get to have an election referendum on the actual policies that took place during COVID, and no one's talking about it.
How quickly we forget.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Trump, maybe that's why, because Trump is proud of the vaccines of warp speed. Mm-hmm. And so he's not going to use COVID and the vaccine mandates and stuff as a talking point because he wants the vaccines to be, you know, on him, the Operation Warp Speed and getting those done really quickly. Mm-hmm. So maybe that is the reason why. Okay. That's that story. Are you scared?
I'm shaking in my toes, man.
I'm scared about democracy.
This is why I work from home.
Mm-hmm. Too scared.
Yeah.
Too scared to go anywhere.
Yeah.
We're going to a super spreader event. You're going to a super spreader event tonight. Mm-hmm. And then we're both going to a super spreader event tomorrow night.
Oh, man. I'm going to be you're right. I'm going to be at Bridgestone two nights in a row.
Mm. How about that?
Arena.
Okay. Let's shift topics drastically. We talked about this $20 an hour minimum wage thing going into effect. I wanted to make a point on something when people talk about how this affects the economy, you might think about the hundreds of thousands of fast food workers in California, and maybe that's going to affect fast food prices and stuff like that. What's important to remember with these minimum wage hikes is that they reverberate throughout the rest of the economy, even to government jobs, as we're about to talk about right now, and people who work at schools. Because it turns out when one place is offering $20 an hour, every other place has to now compete with that place. And so to compete with that place, they've got to raise their wages up to either being even with it or better.
And that's why labor is a commodity.
Mm-hmm. It is. There's an auction going on for people's labor. Mm-hmm. Lost in the hubbub surrounding California's $20 per hour minimum wage for fast food workers is how that raise could impact public schools. It's going to impact more than public schools, but they decided to focus in on public schools in this story. Forcing districts to compete with the likes of McDonald's and Wendy's for cafeteria workers amid a state budget crunch. You see, these are very specialized individuals that are well-trained in the art of scooping food.
School cafeteria.
So this market is expanding now that the pay is higher. The minimum wage law that took effect Monday guarantees at least $20 an hour for fast food restaurant chains with at least 60 locations nationwide. That doesn't include school food service workers, historically some of the lowest paid workers in public education. Why doesn't it include school food service workers? There's more than 60 locations, you know. Yet demand for school meals is higher than ever.
They probably bake bread.
That's it. They make their own bread. Problem solved. Yeah. You figured it out. Yet demand for school meals is higher than ever in California. Those kids just getting fatter and fatter, demanding more meals.
Yeah.
The first state to guarantee free meals for all students paid for by tax money, regardless of their family's income. And demand is projected to fuel an increase of more than 70 million extra meals in California schools this year compared to 2018, according to a State Department of Education.
So now, just 6 years, 70 million extra meals.
Now, listen, I think that the Department of Education should be done away with and all public schools should be burned to the ground. Let me just get that out of the way real quick for
you. With students in it?
No students. No
just
one
teachers.
There. No one there. I do, however, have a... No humans in the building.
Okay.
Okay? Just illegal immigrant murderers. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, non-human animals.
The gang members.
They can be there. That's fine. Okay, I'm joking about that too, just so everyone knows.
That's a serious crime to threaten to burn schools down.
Wow. I'm not going to do it.
Oh, you're going to pay someone to do it?
No, I'm not going to pay anyone to do it either.
Back yourself into this corner.
Okay. Listen, you remember back a long time ago when I said that all the public schools should be burned to the ground? That was a joke. All right.
We'll see about that.
I do, however,
think
it's...
might want to lawyer up.
I've always thought it was really weird that... like the kids had to pay for the meal at the school. I don't know why. It's not that I want taxpayers to pay more money or whatever. I've always thought it was a weird thing because like you use all the tax money and everything and you pay the teachers and you pay for the building and you got these crazy administrator salaries and all this stuff getting paid for. And it's not like when you get your math, your Saxon math textbook out, they're like, all right, that's going to be $890, little Jimmy. You know, the school's like, oh, here's your Saxon math textbook, all that stuff. But when it comes to eating lunch at the place where you're imprisoned for 7 hours or however long it is, they're like, oh, you got to pay for that.
$2.50.
That's weird to me, isn't it?
You
weird?
Want an extra milk? That'll be a quarter.
I don't know. I don't know.
So we were so poor, we got free lunches. You know, we didn't need to be in California for that.
Yeah, I wasn't allowed to join that because my mom was afraid I'd get made fun of. So I just didn't eat.
But I will say my mom and my grandma did keep a plethora of quarters because I needed one little carton of milk was never enough for me.
Yeah, you need a couple.
And so I would every once in a while I'd sprinkle in a chocolate milk, you know, but I'd bring a quarter with me because it cost a quarter to get an extra milk. Mm. So I get a free lunch, but they wouldn't give me, you know. Based on my size, that's how the food should be divvied up. It should be divvied up based on calorie intake requirements.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's actually fair. You know, I'm going to get the same meal as, you know, 4'2" Jimmy over there.
While Charlie's over here with his family of four trying to get a living food wage
and
out of people.
He's not, he's going to, you should see the food that guy throws away that I would have eaten had you put it on my plate.
You could have just slid over and ate then, the rest of someone's food.
Then I have to pay a quarter. I had to back in the day. I had to pay a quarter for that extra milk. You know?
Anyhow, I've always thought that was weird, but that has nothing to do with this story at all. We're talking about food workers at schools. People haven't paid for them. These jobs typically have lots of turnover and are harder to fill. The minimum wage boost for fast food workers could make that even more difficult. Let's see. They're all very worried about it. Most are saying they anticipate it will be harder and harder to hire employees, said the president of the California School Nutrition Association.
Yeah.
Very important.
So
job.
Now you'll see they're going to have a, you know, it's going to be a class, create your own lunch. Mm-hmm. It's a class.
That's a good class. Statewide, some districts have already taken steps to compete in the new reality.
It's going
to
be girls only.
Last year, the Sacramento Unified, they have them serve everyone else. They
reintroduce home ec. Yeah. Do they still have home ec?
Now, girls, hurry up and get that food to the table. The boys are almost here. That's a good-looking sandwich, Sally. Good-looking sandwich. Great job. A+.
You're going to find yourself a husband.
Last year, the Sacramento Unified School District, anticipating the law's passage, agreed to a 10% increase for its food service workers and other low-paying jobs, followed by another 6% increase July 1 of this year to bump their wages up to $20 an hour. The point here is that when you mandate that a place must pay this much money, This is a whole labor pool that everyone is fighting for. People are free to go to different jobs, and now they're competing for these people. And now that you can go to McDonald's and you can get paid $20 an hour, well, you're over here serving food to these annoying kids at this school. Well, wouldn't it be better just to go over there and work at McDonald's? Instead, you're getting paid $17 an hour at the school, I think is what one of these things said. Well, go make 20 over at McDonald's. Mm-hmm. And so what happens? In this case, the school has got to find a way to pay these workers more to try and keep them there, or they're going to lose them to another place. But it's not just the schools who have to do this.
See, the schools are right.
Anywhere.
They need more money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, that there are so many jobs. I can't remember what the number was, 400,000 people or so that work at these fast food restaurants that are affected by this minimum wage hike. The rest of the state is still at $16 an hour. Although a lot of places probably pay a little bit more than that. But this, in effect, raises the minimum wage for the rest of the state. We'll finish up this talk about how the minimum wage causes prices to go up all over the place, wages to go up all over the place, as it will do in California and as it does do around the rest of the country. And we'll do a whole lot more, including Dumb Bleep of the Week, coming right up.
This hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. In addition to being one of the world's first cryptocurrencies, Dash was the first crypto project to have a decentralized autonomous organization that to this day continues to improve and promote Dash. Every month, 10% of the mining rewards go into a treasury. Anyone with one Dash to spend can put forward a proposal to the Dash Masternodes. The Masternodes vet the proposals and decide which ones move forward and are funded by that treasury. Nowadays, DAOs are plentiful, but Dash paved the way by doing it first, nearly a decade ago. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol, and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. Dash.org.
Liberty at Night with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network. We are back with some more content for you, of course. We got a couple more hours till here to fill, and we got plenty of things to talk about. Of course, if you want to listen to us every single day of the week, at night, when you hear us Tuesday nights, we're called Liberty at Night. This could be confusing. Liberty at Night, yeah. During the day, we're called Good Morning Liberty. So that's where you can find all of our content that we put out. 1,212 episodes as of today on your podcast app. Good Morning Liberty. Before we took the little break, we were talking about how the $20 fast food minimum wage in California is leading to higher wages for everyone. This is how it's happening. For anyone who has low skill, low experience workers on the job, they all now have to compete with people who might want to leave and go to McDonald's. So now they've all, in effect, got to raise their wages up after this. So, and that's how it reverberates throughout the entire economy. Everything gets more expensive afterwards. Yeah. And then
you don't think Panera is going to have to raise their minimum wage to compete with?
They are. I saw a thing the other day saying that the guy who runs Panera said that absolutely they're going to have $20 an hour as their minimum wage, even though they're exempt from the law. They have to, mm-hmm. or their workers are going to leave and go work at McDonald's. They've got to do it. So it, and then eventually all the prices raise to match that. It's not just, you know, I saw Nina Turner talking about, oh, a burger at McDonald's, a Big Mac at McDonald's went up 60 cents. Someone posted the picture of how they raised the price like 60 cents at McDonald's after this wage hike went in place. They're like, oh, that's worth it for people to get paid more. It's not just McDonald's. It's all the other restaurants, and it's every other place that has a close to minimum wage job. Every other place is also going to have to raise their wages, and they're going to have to raise their prices to make up for that. And then all of a sudden, people who are making 20 bucks an hour are in the same place as when they were making $16 an hour. It never changes.
And actually, they're in a worse place because of inflation, but that's a whole nother part of the discussion.
And they're in a worse place too, because you're going to end up killing, you're going to end up killing jobs in the process. More places are going to automate. You got Chipotle that's automating a ton. McDonald's clearly trying to automate as much as possible. You got AI coming into the picture as well. Could potentially replace some people that are working. And all of these artificial wage hikes force businesses to move in to just doing that, because they are either going to do that or raise their prices. Anyhow, that's, I think, that entire story basically summed up.
And there's a deeper conversation here, because it's not like the people that are complaining that it's, you know, tougher to live. I saw someone do a comparison to the Great Depression, you know, and basically the average cost of a home was three times the yearly salary in 1930. And now the average home is literally eight times the average salary. Mm-hmm. And they went through all these statistics, and like all of that's true, but people are asking the wrong question. It's not that the prices are high and it's because of greed or whatever. The right question to ask is, why does our dollar now, or why does it take so many more dollars now than it did back then? Mm-hmm. And there's only one reason for that. It's inflation. The purchasing power of your money has dwindled so drastically since the Great Depression that you're in a worse off position than you were, than humans were during the Great Depression. That's one factor of it. Probably the most significant factor. There's other factors. We have new technology now, and, you know, obviously things are going to cost more with that kind of stuff. You always mention backup cameras in your vehicle and,
well, for stop a house, assist. There's a few things you have to control before you even look at inflation, like the size of the house. Those mm-hmm. average houses back in the 60s and 70s were 1,200 square feet. Mm-hmm. And that was your average house. And now the average house is almost twice that size. So automatically, even just controlling for that, you would assume that the price should be double what it was at that time. Now, it's not double. It's, you know, even more than that. I don't know how much they've actually gone up. But you got to control for that first. And then you got to control for all the other technologies that are going into the house that didn't used to be mm-hmm. there. And that's quite a lot of mm-hmm. technologies that didn't used to be there. And then once you...
You have to account for technology making it cheaper to build a house than mm-hmm. it used to be.
That too.
So...
And then once you try to adjust for those things, then you got to look at all the other factors. What about tariffs on wood? Mm-hmm. What about tariffs on all the building supply? Like, we get a lot of wood from Canada. Mm-hmm. Okay. A lot of wood from Canada. They got that sweet, cheap pine up there. A lot of sweet, cheap pine up there. And we put a lot of tariffs on it. It made house, I think.
And maple. I think they got maple up there too.
They do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's mostly in the syrup farming industry, you know?
Yeah.
If you don't know, if you notice your syrup's going up. But anyhow, we got that pine. And I believe the tariffs were made that go up by 30%. And that's just the framing of your house. And then you got all the other supplies that come from. Well, those are coming from a lot of other countries also. Why are they coming from other countries? Well, because we made it so expensive to do business in the United States. Mm-hmm. Tracing this all the way down to like what it should actually cost, like inflation, actual inflation and devaluation of the dollar is a big part of it. Interest rates and home buying credits and stuff like that, massive part of it. Giving people fake buying power to buy things, you know. And then there's all of the government regulations and tariffs and taxes and all that stuff.
The biggest factor, but the biggest factor is the biggest corporation, which is the government.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the actual, and that's why we do this show. It's not like a lot of these people that we disagree with even are right about a lot of the issues. Like, my God, go to the grocery store, dude. Yeah. They're wrong in their diagnosis. That's the difference. They're wrong in their diagnosis and their solutions, because the solution, the diagnosis is not corporate greed. The markets get the market and will always be the market.
Yeah. Corporations were greedy back in the '60s and seventies.
Yes. Everyone is greedy, right? Yeah. It's one of the best things Milton Friedman said. It's always, it's always the other fellow who's greedy, not you, right? You're not trying to get the most amount of money for the least amount of work. You know, is that greed? What is greed? Right? The real problem lies with the power that the government has to influence what the free market would actually produce. And the difficult sell of this message is, as Nate pointed out, it's so hard to quantify because there's so many variables you have to take into account to get to what the actual real cost would be. Because, and then trying to articulate which of those variables is causing the most amount of harm. It's extremely difficult, but we know by studying history that the biggest impact on economics is government, and the government rules and regulations and the push for fake buying power and all the things that they've done, and the devaluation of the dollar with inflation and everything that the government has done, has created such a rift in what normal market forces would be that it's, I understand why it's confusing to people, and they want to point to something easy like, oh, people are just being greedy.
It's the fake buying power that is the worst. I would go ahead and say it's the worst culprit, because without the fake buying power from the Fed and from banking regulations and things like that, the market would still hold the prices of these houses down. You know, when you give people fake buying power, there's no ceiling on what people can pay for the houses. And so all those tariffs, all those regulations, they're allowed to just run wild. Without the fake buying power, you would run into a ceiling for a house that no one could pay more than this much money for the house, because the interest rate's 15% and you don't have all these home buying credits and stuff like that. The price of those things would still be held down. And then you would have to consider all of the ways that you're making the house more expensive. But you don't have to consider that anymore, because you just get more buying power. Yeah. You just get the bigger loan. And so we've taken off that big market force of houses. How do we start talking about houses?
Well, to round this out, this is all, yeah, minimum wage in California.
Yeah, okay. And it's all Gavin Newsom's fault, the whole thing.
I think that was a really good, quick explanation of what, you know, what's happening and why it's important to introduce solutions that would actually make life better. That's the whole pursuit of liberty, is to free the most amount of humans to make the best life possible for the most amount of humans.
Yeah.
It's the only thing that's ever worked. I saw a great quote. I think it might've been Solzhenitsyn who said this, but basically, because humans are so unique and different, that if you give them freedom, there will be no equality. But if you have equality, there is no freedom, because humans have different interests, different skills, different size, different weight, different intelligence.
Yeah. Like,
with freedom, there is no equality, but you have the chance to level the playing field to where people can pursue their own interests and create the best society ever.
Are you about to talk about equality of opportunity?
No, I'm working my way into mansplaining.
Oh,
that women are less equal.
I don't know if we have time for that. We can do it. So there's two clips here from Charlie Kirk. One of them, I think, is completely unnecessary. Actually, to tell you the truth, they're both unnecessary. But the freak out.
Was he asked a question about this, though?
I don't have the whole video. Just as a disclaimer, I don't have the context on these video clips. I've just got the ones that have been clipped out.
You know, when Jim Carrey said in Liar Liar that there's no such thing as a weaker sex?
Mm-hmm.
That's wrong.
No, it's not.
There is such thing.
There, yeah.
Yes.
Is it women?
Yeah.
Okay.
And their birth control. Yeah.
Well, the first one I think is not about birth control. This has to do with him. I almost said he randomly said this. It has to be part of a larger conversation. And so that's why we disclaimered that we don't have the larger conversation. Things like this, I just don't understand saying that women in their 30s are not in their prime and not attractive in the dating pool. Let's hear that clip real quick, and then we'll get to the birth control clip. Right afterwards.
We basically told a great generation of young women, don't get married, don't have kids, go get a corporate job. And it's created mass political hysteria. And then in their early 30s, they get really upset because they say, you know, the boys don't want to date me anymore because they're not at their prime. And people get mad when I say that. Well, it's just true. If you're in your early 30s, I'm sorry. It's like you're not as attractive in the dating pool as you were in the early 20s. But again, you have your corporate job and cats. So I thought, you know.
Okay. So there's that clip. Now, in their prime, kind of a probably a subjective terminology. What do you mean by prime?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
Well, there's a saying that beauty is in the eye of the beholder, which is true. And I think that beauty stems not just physically, but what, like your capability to have children and things like that. Now, there is a biological clock for women. That's just a fact.
Yeah.
I mean, you only have a certain amount of time where you can actually produce. The chances of producing quality children diminishes when you're on the outskirts of that. Okay. When you're too young and when you're too old. Like the quality of children that you're going to be able to produce is not as good as the prime age of producing children, which typically happens in your younger to mid 20s.
Yeah.
Right. As you get older, as you get above 30, in fact, when you're 35 and above, you're considered high risk by doctors, by the experts.
So if he's talking
that you
about
should trust.
If he's talking about childbearing, I mean, there's just a scientific fact behind that.
It's just the truth.
If he's
talking about childbearing, about it all you want, but it is just the truth. Now, there are some women that can give that have birth healthy babies all the way up to, I think, 45 and above. It's not impossible.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're, let's say you're a man who wants children and you're looking for a mate, right, to have children, like quality children with, because you want those children to grow up and survive, right? You want there to be the least amount of problems with that kid possible. I mean, you're gonna, if that's one of your criteria. Now, it's not every man's criteria. Mm-hmm. Some men don't want to have kids. Some men haven't thought about that. They just want, you know, a companion, whatever. But if that is part of your criteria, then of course that's going to determine who you find attractive, right? Who you find that you want to be with.
Now, and to be fair, before anyone gets upset, I want to, you know, a little bit of context here. He's talking about a broader conversation of why are so many women just so terrible and awful to be around, and some of the worst parts of our society, you know? So I just want to add a little context there. Mm-hmm. So no one's getting upset about that. And so he's talking about what's wrong with these women. And then he brings up birth control after this. And I've seen a lot of people clipping this, including like this Republicans Against Trump, top Trump ally, Charlie Kirk. I'm no fan of Charlie Kirk, by the way, whatsoever. I find him to be extremely annoying, grifter, propagandist kind of thing, but whatever.
Some of the things he says is right.
He says some right things. Same goes for Trump. You know, Charlie Kirk says birth control screws up female brains and turns women into Democrats. This is MAGA. Now, I don't have any studies on the turning women into Democrats.
I have some empirical evidence. There's a female, a self-identified woman in our Fed Haters Club right now that just says it does.
Yeah. So what I was saying is
she's a green.
I don't have any studies for turning women into Democrats, but it is a scientific proven fact that birth control screws with your brain.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if it screws. So I could say screws with your brain, or you could say screws up your brain. Screws up to me implies that your brain is done after that. There's no fixing it. Mm-hmm. You know, screws with your brain. Okay, while you're taking it, it screws with your brain, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But women take it for a long time. You know, my wife's been on birth control for, I don't know, since she was, you know, however long, I don't know. I went through in that
several
pause,
things to say.
I went through all the different funny ages I could have said, and I just decided not to say an age. After that, so. Just decided it was best not to say an age. So
now, of course, the other disclaimer is we're men. We have no idea what we're talking about.
Oh yeah, sure we do. We deal with women all the time.
Well, this is all mansplaining, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, remember, if you don't have a uterus, you're not allowed to have an opinion.
That's true.
On this kind of stuff.
That's true.
Well, let's take this opinion with a grain of man salt. Okay.
Let's see what he said.
A lot of them are on birth control too, and birth control like really screws up female brains. By the way, every single one of you need to make sure that your loved ones are not on birth control. It increases depression, anxiety, suicidal ideation. Birth control is the number one most prescribed medication for young ladies under the age of 25. They will give young ladies birth control for pimples, for acne, to control their moods, their period. It is awful. It's terrible, and it creates very angry and bitter young ladies. Ladies and young women, that bitterness then manifests into a political party that is the bitter party. I mean, the Democrat Party is all about bring us your bitterness and, you know, we'll give you free stuff. It's like we'll trade you, you know, bitterness for stuff, essentially. That's like the Democrat Party.
Okay. There's that clip right there. So the Democrat Party thing, I think, is...
One guy in the group puts it as, it's our lived experience with women.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Don't deny my lived experience.
Yeah.
No, so here's...
It's your truth.
So there's the part where he talks about it making women join the Democrat Party, which I need to see the studies of all the women who aren't Democrats. Do they take birth control?
Yeah.
You know, I don't have those numbers.
This is where he's applying, he's applying something to get clicks.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the part that I consider selling your soul, you know, for the fame and the money. It's like you're wildly speculating that birth control is one of the leading factors of moving women to the Democrat Party.
Now, I think we have seen some studies that liberal women are more anxious and depressed and, you know, things like that, that they do have more mood problems, which is...
But correlation is not causation.
Yeah. No.
So that's the thing.
I don't know. That one science seems settled to me. I don't know.
Well, you're saying, but the birth control is leading to...
Yeah, that's a correlation thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So taking birth control leads to higher rates of suicidal ideation, to depression, anxiety, and all that. And then liberal women seem to be more of those things. And so what you're doing is you're correlating as causation, which I don't think is right. Now, it's possible. I'm not saying it's impossible. Imagine we would have to do a study where we just take all women off of birth control and see if they move political parties. Yeah.
And then for men, I want to see if low testosterone leads to you being a Democrat also. I don't know.
Yeah.
It could be a thing.
Could be.
It's all hormones. Yeah. We just fix the hormones. We fix the country.
But you know what? We got something for that.
Actually, there's probably something, well... Not in the way I just said it, technically. It doesn't actually create more testosterone.
Well, it helps your body.
You know, helps your body use the testosterone that you have, because as you get older, proteins build up around your testosterone. Mm-hmm. And inside of the specific thing... It breaks down those proteins so you can actually use the testosterone that your body already has, because you might have some, but you can't use it.
Yeah.
All right? So anyhow, you can text GML to 231-231. To find out about Nugenix, if you want to do that. Seriously, it's right here. Take it every day. There you go. That's not the full ad read.
There's more to come.
There's more. Don't worry. Actually, you probably heard it earlier in the show.
Yeah, that's
by
right.
By this point. No, but the birth control part, which I've seen a lot of people upset about, even people on the right, this is as settled as science ever has gotten in the history, almost as settled as climate change.
I believe there's a consensus on
there
this.
There is a consensus. Yeah. Everyone agrees, even the women. I mean, seriously, personal...
But see, this... They come out with this piece just to validate women's feelings, though.
Yeah.
But then when you...
Well, but it's true.
Like, I know, but when you offer up these facts then as a way to explain other things, they get mad about that.
Well, it's like when... It's like, you know, when it's that time of the month and you're like... Is it that time of the month? And then all of a sudden it's like, you know, the world's falling apart because you just said that.
Yeah.
And then like next week, she's like, well, you know, I'm sorry. You know, there's all this stuff going on. You don't bring it up while it's happening. That's the point. Yeah. You can't. You got to bring it up other times.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyhow, yeah, there's plenty of stuff here. Feel like a different person on your pill. Here's how it affects your mood. And then there's all sorts of stuff in here about how it affects your mood. Now, this is not a medical publication. We could go to Very Well Health and talk about hormonal birth control. It's literally hormones, synthetic hormones. Mm-hmm. Of course it affects your mood. Of course, testosterone affects men's mood.
Yes.
Okay?
Duh.
Hormones affect your mood.
Yes.
And so I don't understand why all of a sudden, it's because he tied it to politics. It's because he tied it to Democrats. Mm-hmm. You know, it's they're just on their periods.
Which, by the way, he's so, probably getting the reaction that he wanted.
Yeah, absolutely is.
Charlie Kirk is not stupid.
Well, he's not, it's debatable.
No, he's not. He's not dumb. He knows exactly what he's doing.
He's good at marketing.
He knows exactly what he's doing.
Birth control, mood swings, hormones. What's the link?
So this is why, you know, so Charlie Kirk and Ben Shapiro got famous around the same time, and it was all about destroying the other side. I mean, that was like the most famous videos on YouTube and stuff. They know exactly what they're doing. They know how to stir up controversy. They know how to get likes and clicks and whatever. Nate and I just we're not willing to sell our soul yet.
You know, I felt bad about that post earlier on Twitter where I someone posted about how a 6-inch sub was $6. So then I made a joke and I said, $12 foot longs. Thanks, Biden. And so I blamed Biden at the end of the song. Mm-hmm. I felt bad about that.
Yeah.
I almost didn't post it, but I still did.
Yeah.
And I feel bad about it now because it's not just Biden's fault. Okay. No. It's Trump's fault. It's Jerome Powell's fault. It's all kinds of people's fault. It's Congress's fault. It's all sorts of stuff. And then I didn't even go and look and see where that specific Subway store was. Maybe it's in a very expensive part of the country, something like that. Maybe the picture is old. I don't know how old the picture is. And I just posted about it. Mm-hmm. And I made fun of Biden. All of a sudden, I felt as, I don't know, I felt like Charlie Kirk in that moment. Mm-hmm. Like just a...
Nathaniel Kirk.
Just an idiot, you know? anyhow, the moral of the story is birth control does affect your mood. It could be kind of negative. Could be negative for society. I don't know. You got millions of people taking something that affects their mood, just like antidepressants and stuff like that. Then you take that, it makes you depressed, and then you get on antidepressants, and you got all kinds of crazy stuff going on.
And then it's like off limits to talk about?
Yeah, you can't talk about it?
Yeah.
You're taking stuff that affects your mood.
Yeah.
What do you mean we can't talk about
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
So,
anyway.
This just reminds me that my wife's been trying to talk me into getting a vasectomy for a while. And because she wants to stop taking birth control because it affects her mood.
Yeah. Why don't she just stop?
Birth control?
Yeah.
No, we're not going to do that.
And you don't get a vasectomy.
And I don't get a vasectomy? Yeah. No, we're not going to do that.
Oh, you're not?
No, she's going to stay on that. So, yeah, I'll deal with it, you know? Okay, anyhow.
It's worth the mood swings for you. God, you hate children.
I don't
hate
kids.
Schools.
I don't hate kids.
Listen to all this evidence.
I just don't
want them. Me, folks.
You just can't help it. You just can't help it if you don't want them, you know. So anyway, Liberty at Night, we got a little bit more. By a little bit more, I mean like 2 full hours. So don't go anywhere. That includes Dumb Bleep of the Week coming up really soon. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Derek J. I don't want a politician to represent me. To me, government is the idea that one group of people can coerce everyone to comply with an edict or face increasing punishments up to and including death. Despite perhaps the most noble of intentions, the best government services are a far cry from what could be provided for by voluntary interactions. Besides, the people who call themselves the government wage wars and put peaceful people in jail for crimes involving no victims. If Starbucks used some of its money to drop bombs, I wouldn't shop there. So why would I support the American Empire? The Empire does not require my consent.
Derek J's Victimless Crime Spree. You can order your copy of the Director's Cut DVD now at victimlesscrimespree.com.
Free Talk Live.
What's up, everyone? This is Liberty at Night with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network, coming at you from Nashville, Tennessee. This segment was admittedly recorded yesterday before the eclipse. You'll notice, because we talk about it as if it is about to happen, that does not mean that none of the content is important or funny.
I don't know if you heard about it, but there's an eclipse today for some people. In the U.S. and I guess some other people, too.
Mexico.
If you haven't heard about it, that's going to be happening today. Of course, imagine if you actually hadn't heard that there was going to be an eclipse and you're just driving down the interstate and it just gets completely dark all of a sudden.
Yeah.
You probably think that, like...
Wow, that's a strong cloud.
Like the world's ending or something like that.
No, it's dark, like, all of a sudden. Wow, that's a dark cloud.
Your headlights flip on. Anyhow, speaking of crazy stuff... I wanted to try and figure out why people do this, but Marjorie Taylor Greene had something to say. Remember, this is important too, because we'll talk more about it later, but there was an earthquake also in New York, New Jersey area.
I think there was an earthquake here.
On Friday?
Not here, but on the New Madrid fault line.
Was there?
I think in the Southern Illinois area, yeah.
No, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. It was smaller. It was like 3.8 or something like that, or maybe a 4.
And so then we have this eclipse coming today. And MTG says, Charlie,
God is sending America strong signs to tell us to repent. Earthquakes and eclipses and many more things to come. I pray that our country listens.
So this is going to be in Dumb Bleep of the Week on Friday, more than likely. But there's absolutely no reason to decide that God is sending America strong signs to tell us to repent. Earthquakes happen all over the place. There was a real big one in Taiwan that happened like a week ago or something like
that.
They
hate God.
Yeah, I guess so.
They worship chips.
But I guess when it's here, it's like God sending America strong signs, because then you get the eclipse. Well, the eclipse isn't only happening in America. It's gonna, like we just talked, it's also going to go over Mexico and
maybe some other places. Though. They're good.
So they'll be fine.
They'll be drinking wine.
They don't need to repent. They'll looking be just
up
at fine.
Looking up the eclipse with no glasses.
They'll be good to go. This kind of thing bothers me because there's clear scientific explanations for why these things happen. Earthquakes. We have scientific explanations for why earthquakes happen. Eclipses. Very well documented on why eclipses happen, and there's absolutely no reason to aspire to add in some sort of mysticism to this thing.
Is she saying that she believes in climate change?
I'm not sure. Maybe.
Earthquakes, eclipses, many more things. What is that, hurricanes?
Possibly hurricanes.
Tornadoes?
Possibly. You possibly know? That. I don't know.
Tornadoes have already been ripping through the United States already.
So, for... anyone who needs to hear this, you might be listening and thinking, yeah, this is a sign of the end times. I just wanted to point out, I was talking to my wife about it last night, eclipses are not all that rare. They happen anywhere from 2 to 5 times a year. The totals and annular eclipses, at least every year and a half or so. The thing is, most of Earth is water, and so most people don't see it, because statistically, a lot of times it happens over water, and you'd have to be out there on a boat to actually see this happen.
Some people do, by the way.
Yeah.
There are people that travel around.
They chase eclipses.
They're eclipse chasers.
There are airlines that have special flights leaving out of Dallas that are going to try and fly in the path of it and like stay dark for an extended period of time.
As long as they can stay under the dome.
Yeah, you got to stay under that. You don't want to hit whatever you call the wall that is at the outer edge.
Yeah.
And as long as your engine doesn't blow apart or anything, if you're on a Boeing plane.
Yeah.
Something like that. Did you see another Boeing?
I did. Yeah. You know what's funny about that? I got to tell you. So we're going to Mexico this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I specifically...
Wait, you're going to Mexico this weekend?
Yeah, did I not tell you that?
No.
Yeah, I'll be gone Friday and Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week.
Great.
Anyway, I specifically booked us on Airbus planes.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah,
I actually did. I actually looked at that because I was like, there's enough things happening with Boeing right now.
You haven't heard many Airbus problems going on.
No, Airbus has been great.
Recently.
There's been enough flying's still really safe, but there's been enough Boeing things happen that I'm like, I'm going to look for the Airbus.
I was already scared enough of flying, so I'm definitely going to stay off of a Boeing. Yeah. Anyhow, I just wanted to show you, oh, by the way, this thing from Christianity.com.
That's what it looks like.
Will the solar eclipse on April 8th fulfill events foretold in the scripture? I don't like this idea of acting like this isn't something that happens all the time. And when you just look at this one, okay, it happens to be going all the way across the United States. That doesn't mean the U.S. is not the center of the universe or the center of the world. We're not the most important people that ever existed. Well, maybe we are probably the most important people that ever existed, right? I mean, come on.
At least on
planet. How could we not be?
At least on planet Earth.
These things happen all the time. Let me show you. Yes, I pulled up all of these things this morning. From 1841 to 1860, these are all of the either total or annular or hybrid eclipses that happened during the time of 1841 to 1860. You can see that there are a ton of them that happened then. Now, were we in the end times in 1853 on November 30th, this one right here went through?
Somebody might have predicted that.
Yeah, could have been. 1854, May 26th, that went across the United States there. That's pretty crazy. 1860 to 1880, real big one right there. 1865. Giant solar eclipse went through, annular eclipse went through, as you can see, again,
Nashville.
Like 20 of them went through in this time. How about 1901 to 1920? Quite a few of them, yet again, went right through. Look at this, 1918, June 8th, straight down through, I mean, all the way from the top left corner of the U.S. down through Florida, in the bottom right corner of the U.S.
Where you can't say gay.
Were we in the end times? You could still say gay at that time.
Oh.
So I guess not in the end times then. And then also notice, Americans, just so you know, all of the other places that also get eclipses all the time, they don't just happen over America. Mm. They happen around the entire world. So that's something. How about from 2001 to 2020? Yet again, we got this one in 2017, August 25th. I remember that one. Mm-hmm. Remember that one? Plain as day, it wasn't the end times at that time. And a whole bunch of them. Look, straight across Africa through here, straight through Russia, all sorts of eclipses going through from 2001 to 2020. And so why is it that we pick this one event that's happening today and we say, oh, this is the sign of the end. Look at this. And then Marjorie Taylor Greene says, God is sending us signs with earthquakes and eclipses. Like there's not like a major eclipse every single year. Somewhere on the planet Earth, there's a major eclipse every year, multiple of them sometimes. And so why do we look at these things and we decide that this must mean something different? This is something special that's happening today. Mm. That's special because it doesn't happen every day, I guess. Special for the people that are in the path of the total eclipse. That's going to be cool. I don't care about it as much this year because we're only going to get like a 95% eclipse. Plus, it's super cloudy here in Nashville, so we're not going to see much of it anyway. I just don't understand
totality is not happening here. Mm-hmm.
So it's not
far from here.
Not too far. We could drive up to Paducah if we wanted to get into totality today.
Mm-hmm.
So what the heck,
man? Lots of people are going to be there.
Why do we have to ascribe something bigger than what something is? Instead, it's like instead of looking at our problems that we're facing today and ways to solve them, we're like, oh no,
I really think it's a way to exercise the primal parts of our brain.
Yeah.
And we have the amygdala, which, processes anxiety and fear and things like that. And to exercise that part, what's greater than an apocalyptic event? What's greater than the second coming of Jesus? What's greater than having anxiety about getting your life right before Jesus comes back?
Yeah,
but
I guess that's.
But here's the thing.
That's one.
I pulled this up before the show because I think this is important. People have been predicting the end times or repent or whatever for literally thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to look it up to make sure because I had that thought and I'm like, okay, let me look this up. It predates all the way back to the first predicted date we know that the earth was going to end was the year 500.
Ooh.
Yeah, this was three Christian theologians. Mm. That predicted Jesus would return in the year 500. One of them was based on the dimensions of Noah's Ark. How can you disagree with that math?
Dimensions are scientific. So there's a scientific basis behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that was wrong. Then you have the next one in 1260, 1370, 1504, 1524, 1533, 1670. That was during the witch trials, I think. They were hunting down them witches.
Yep.
You know? Then there's 1673, 1694, 1700, 1757. America wasn't even born yet.
Huh.
1770, a couple of them in 1770. Anyway, you get the idea. We go into the 1800s. There's several predictions there. There's at least six people who predicted the end of the world in the year 2000. And there's future predictions currently. We have one, two, three, four, five. And there's going to be one after 2025. There's 2028, 2029, 2057, and 2060. Isaac Newton, by the way, predicted 2060.
Huh.
He believed that the number 1260 had a particular significance in the prophetic books of the Bible. He viewed the merger of the Pope's religious authority with political authority as the great apostasy. After considering several possible starting dates, he settled on 800 AD, the year when Pope Leo III established a power-sharing agreement with the Holy Roman Empire. He believed it would come to an end with the apocalypse after 1260 years, so in the year 2060. In actuality, the territories of the Holy Roman Empire shrank after the mid-1200s. The last of the Pope's lands, the Papal States, were lost in 1870, and he still believes this. So,
huh. Well,
or did.
Did, yeah, when he was alive.
Mm-hmm. So
maybe he's right about that one. I don't know. 2060 seems plausible.
What I'm
or maybe
saying
the
is,
next eclipse in 2044 when it comes through, you know?
So as a Christian, I do believe in the second coming of Jesus. Here's the problem is that no one knows.
Yeah.
But when it does happen, you will know.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason to predict. Like, there's no reason to try and predict when that actually is going to occur. You're just supposed to live every day as Jesus commanded you to. And when he comes back, you'll know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It says very clearly, every ear will hear, every knee will bow, every eye will see. There's going to be trumpets and stuff, you know? I saw a joke that said that you should hook up some Bluetooth speakers in your neighbor's yard. And when it hits when it hits right in the middle of the eclipse, start playing trumpets and see what your neighbors do.
Better yet, just get your trumpet out. Start doing it, you know?
No, I can't find my trumpet.
You can't find your trumpet?
I don't know if it got lost in translation.
I haven't seen a trumpet around here anywhere.
It must have
lost in translation.
You know? It must have been a transitory trumpet.
I guess so. It's gone now.
Yeah, inflation like eroded it.
So it's not just people on the right that do this with things, by the way. Of course, people on the left do this, but instead of God, they go to their God, which is maybe Mother Earth or father government or whatever it is. And so there was another instance of, let's see, Christina Amira Khalil, Christina for New Jersey, who has now made her profile private. And you can't see this post anymore, of course, because she was dragged heavily on the internet for posting this after the earthquake. That happened. Did it originate in New Jersey or New York or is same last week? I don't remember.
I think it was Jersey.
Okay.
One of our live group members said that it was pretty close to his house, actually.
She said, I experienced my first earthquake in New Jersey. We never get earthquakes. The climate crisis is real.
Mm.
The weirdest experience ever.
And she just missed, she forgot the ending. Donate now. You know.
Community note on this, you know. New Jersey sits on a fault line, has nothing to do with climate change. So that, you know, people on the left, even if they're not religious, maybe she is religious, I don't know. I can't really say that about her, but they do the same thing.
She has Christ in her name.
This is the, her name begins with Christ. Okay.
Christina.
So they do the same thing, but of course it's the climate crisis.
The climate
and
God.
We just need to tax enough and give the government enough money or we need to sacrifice enough human beings and we won't have earthquakes anymore. Mm. We need to sacrifice enough cows and humans to the gods and we will no longer have
the gods of nature
earthquakes on planet Earth.
Yes.
You know?
Just like the Mayans.
It's and honestly, more people saying stuff like this makes me believe that we are closer to the end times. Maybe, you know, maybe we are.
Maybe they're right. Maybe they're right.
Okay. Let's go to and advertisement.
But no, but you asked the question, why do people do this?
Oh, yeah.
The truth behind it is it stirs up controversy and ends up leading to more views and followers and getting people scared, which leads to making more money. The reason why Erlanger, whatever, Paul, whatever, or is it Erlanger?
I don't know who you're
talking
about.
Who makes the predictions of famine and...
Oh, I don't...
Ehrlich?
Oh, Ehrlich.
Yeah. Ehrlich, sorry, not Erlanger. Ehrlich. Yeah. The reason that these people make these predictions, Al Gore, New York's going to be underwater, whatever. And then at the bottom, donate now.
Yeah.
Join the cause.
You don't think they actually believe it, though?
Some of them might. Some of them might be doing it in good faith. The majority probably not.
Mm-hmm.
I think these people they're not stupid. They're not dumb. Somebody told me the other day, like, oh, I just, you know, Theo Von is dumb. Theo Von's not dumb. I don't know if you know who that is or not. Podcaster saw him yesterday, by the way, in a Cybertruck.
You saw him
in
yesterday?
Green Hills. Yeah. 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 I tried to catch up to him, but then he turned and went to a liquor store. And I was like, well, I'm not going to a liquor store. On a Sunday, Theo Von going to a liquor store on a Sunday.
Heretic.
He's like, he's just a dumb country boy. I'm like, no, he's not.
He's not paying attention to the clips coming right now.
Maybe he is. Maybe he wants to drink while it's happening.
I gotcha.
But my thing is, like, these people aren't dumb. They're not dumb. Don't think of them as dumb.
The thing I think that bothers me the most about this is that this same thing, we can make fun of, oh, Marjorie Taylor Greene pointed to the eclipse as a sign of the end times. Well, eclipses happen all the time. There's clear data for this. This person pointed to an earthquake as a sign that the climate crisis was happening. Well, we've got clear data for how many earthquakes there have been since we started taking measurements. There's been hundreds of thousands before that throughout the Earth's history, and we've got no connection between that and the amount of carbon in the atmosphere, which is only 0.04% of the atmosphere in the first place, but somehow that's what it is. So the thing that bothers me about this is we do this with everything.
Well,
try to look for this kind of mystic reason, like, oh, Nate, it's a climate crisis. Oh, it's God.
If you think about these, you know, tectonic plates rubbing against each other, if we're taking...
Well, in a plutonic way.
If we're taking their lube, you know, the oil out of the ground... You know, that's their lube they get for rubbing against each other.
Mm-hmm.
We're extracting that away. Now they're going to bump
uglies
harder.
Yeah. In a non-plutonic way.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
And yeah, it's going to cause things to shake. You know?
Okay. Let's get on to the second topic. All right. Let me see here. I don't know which thing.
Took me a while to find that ad.
To do. Yeah, I was scrolling. We got so many.
You were reading as you were watching me do this.
We got so many advertisers right now.
I know. It takes a while. Scroll down to find them.
Let's just go over. Let's do an economy thing real quick, and then we have to get out of here. Joe Biden posted out wages are up more than prices. Unemployment has reached historic lows. And we're doing everything we can to keep lowering costs for hardworking families. And then on this post, he says, capitalism without competition is not capitalism. It's exploitation.
Hmm.
I guess we won't dig too much into that quote right now. But I think maybe the government should stop doing things that make it harder for capitalists to have competitors. That would be my initial critique of that statement.
What's the number one way to stifle competitors?
Mm-hmm.
Government regulations.
And then if you beat out your competitors and you happen to exist in a period where there aren't competitors currently, but that's because you just had a better product or a better service than everyone else, that's not immediately exploitation. That just means that you were better than all of the other people. So that's not immediately like a monopoly if you can't stop other people from coming into the market to compete against you. However, let's just look at these other things he said. Wages are up more than prices. Now, as I just stated with the previous conversation, people say crazy things and they think that, well, we just need to give money to the Biden gods or to the government or whoever, and they're going to fix these problems for us. And you can actually go and look at physical statistics on things. You could just do that instead. So I wanted to look at some of that. First off, when he talks about unemployment, we did get another just crazy unemployment number, 3.8%, 300,000 jobs added. They were all part-time jobs. Actually, the number of full-time jobs decreased. So that's not immediately a good thing. I also wanted to tell you that since we started keeping these numbers, or since the Fed and the BLS, they go all the way back to 1995. So there's a lot of time that existed before 1995, just to be clear. The number of multiple job holders, someone who has a full-time job and then has taken a secondary part-time job over the top of that, is at the highest that this chart will show since 1995.
Over 5 million people.
Yeah, have and so that's not immediately a great sign of the best economy when people are going out there and getting multiple jobs, you know, because they can't make their ends meet. You know, you have two ends and they won't meet.
I know.
And you won't put them together.
Yeah.
You know, and then your ends meet after that. People are having to get a second part-time job.
See, it's a full circle conversation.
So the ends come together.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
So I wanted to look at...
as long as you got enough oil.
He said wages are up more than... Oh, I don't remember how he said it. Wages are up more than prices. It depends on what time frame you look at. Now, if you happen to look at... Okay, let me do it this way. Here's since Biden came into office. This is average weekly earnings. Okay, average is not the coolest number to look at. Average weekly earnings versus the CPI. You can see the CPI is up 18.51%, and average weekly earnings are up 14.24%.
That seems lower.
That's lower than inflation. Here's why people, when they look at Trump, they think that he'd be better on the economy. And I'm not saying this is all because of Trump or whatever, but this is the same amount of time. So we cut off right before COVID happens. By the way, that's not to make Trump look better. This number just spikes up when COVID happens because they count all the government money that got sent out to everyone. So it's kind of skews the stats. But under Trump, before COVID happened, you have 9.49 increase in the average weekly earnings, and you had 6.4 increase in the CPI from the time he came into office to about 3 years into him being in office. And so they compare those two things with Biden. And Trump, you look and you're like, oh, things were better under Trump, weren't they? Like, I was actually moving forward. I was making more money than costs were going up. It's not that hard to figure out, you know? And there's other ways of looking at this as well. How about full-time real weekly earning? This is median weekly real earnings. So real means they've taken inflation into account. Okay. So under Trump's period of time right here, you have plus 4.26% for full-time real weekly earnings. And then you have under Biden, during the same amount of time, you have minus 0.54% for real weekly earnings. And these are median numbers. That's getting pretty close to even, almost there. What Biden likes to do is he likes to pull from this point right here and look and say, oh, look, the earnings are up versus costs. But if you look at the whole time he's been in office, they're still down. Now, you can drill down further and find specific segments of society that have actually done better. And of course, those are the segments of society that the Biden administration is going to point out. We'll talk about that coming right up, along with a whole lot more.
The Shire Free Church offers a sanctuary to those seeking an escape from state churches.
The Shire Free Church is an interfaith, diverse group of people that may not share identical theological beliefs.
As a member in or minister of the Shire Free Church, you are a sovereign individual and may be the faith of your choice.
We don't claim to have all of the answers.
We are open to all peaceful people.
We want to learn from each other.
What unifies the Shire Free Church and its diverse members is peace,
love,
and liberty. There are many paths to God, one for every individual.
The Shire Free Church does not define a specific path beyond these parameters that must be your foundation.
Peace as your way,
love as your guide,
and liberty as your light.
Learn more at church.shiresociety.com.
That's church.shiresociety.com.
What's up, y'all? It's Liberty Night with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network. Let's get back into this conversation about the Biden administration talking about the jobs report and wages. For instance, like part-time workers, low-skill workers, young workers, those numbers have actually gone up pretty good because people...
California's minimum wage law.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Well, people had to pay a lot more money to attract people to come work those jobs. Mm-hmm. Those numbers have actually gone up.
But there were signs everywhere, a sign.
There were eclipses
of needing help.
Mm-hmm. You know? Oh yeah, I got you.
Yeah. So as long as you cut your hair, you had a job.
But there's a lot of people out there that this just hasn't happened for, and they refuse to accept it, and they refuse to admit that it's the truth. Like, for instance, if you've been working the same job this whole time, if you didn't switch jobs, you're probably doing a lot worse right now. Not to let you too far into my personal life, but my wife, she's worked at the same job during this whole time. Makes good money. That's great. But they do a 2% annual, whatever you cost of living increase. Mm-hmm. And they have continued doing the 2% annual cost of living increase.
Despite the cost of living has gone up 20%.
Yeah. It's not like Social Security where it's pegged to the inflation number or anything like that. You know, this year they're talking about as a bonus doing a 3%.
Ooh.
You know, something like that. Mm. And so that's pretty cool. But no doubt there is no way of getting around it. Like, my wife's pay has gone down over the last 3 years.
Yeah. And you don't need all these charts to know this. Like we've talked about on the show, you just go to the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
You realize that, you know, whether you're paying in cash or swiping the card, you're like, yeah, that just, it's not going as far as it used to.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be able to feed my family and have more money left over to buy whatever you're buying, cigarettes, chewing tobacco, jewels for all you Gen Zers.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez, you know?
So many of them.
God.
Freaking Gen Z people, you know?
Or maybe you wanted to, I don't know, take your family on a weekend away to a cabin or something. All that's gone up, and you know, because now you can't go the weekends anymore.
And by the way, it's not as if some of this wasn't Trump's fault during Biden's tenure. Like, the CARES Act, you know, went into effect while Trump was in office, and that was the biggest spending bill that we had ever had. They spent a lot of money we didn't have, printed a lot of money. You know, the Fed created a bunch of money out of thin air. And so that definitely has something to do with it. But then we have the Inflation Reduction Act, we have the American Rescue Plan, we got the CHIPS Act, we have all this other stuff coming from Biden. And the thing is, it really bothers me when people can just say these lies out there to millions of people. And there honestly should be a community note on this. But what time frame are you looking at? Because people, as we've been saying over and over again, they remember more than just the last 5 months when wages have been going up more than prices. We remember more than that. We exist, we're a part of all the time that we have lived before this, not just the last 5 months, mm-hmm. you know? And so you can ask yourself, am I better off than I was 3 years ago? The answer is probably not for a lot of people. And that's why he's having such a tough time. Okay, let's shift now into Dumb Bleep of the Week. If you want to put in submissions, go to joingml.com. That's joingml.com to join the Fed Haters Club. It's everyone's favorite segment of the week. It's Dumb Bleep of the Week. The live group puts in submissions. I ignore most of them, and then I put in my own. And that's what we're going to be going through today. I didn't ignore them on purpose. I think I missed a few this week, but whatever. We have 8 submissions we're going to go through. The live group is going to vote on which one is the dumbest. Then we're going to do a bracket challenge at the end of the year for Dumb Bleep of the Year. The winner gets a trophy. Let's go to Dumb Bleep number 1. All right, this one comes courtesy of the Biden government, the White House. Okay, Antony Blinken says that Ukraine will be joining NATO. And so, of course, World War III was trending on Twitter yesterday. But let's hear them talk about that. Now, this is like a line in the sand. This is a red line for Putin. And apparently, we just don't care. Okay, that's one thing. Number two, I don't even think NATO really should exist anymore in the first place, mm-hmm. right? If there's a need for allies to come together and fight a war, then we'll do it. We will.
Yeah.
See World War II, where we didn't have a NATO beforehand, and we're like,
World War I.
Yeah, like the people came together, and it wasn't like a binding contract that people had. They were like, oh, this is important, we'll do it.
Yeah.
And so I don't see why we have to have this organization that doesn't seem like they do anything. But anyhow, here is Antony Blinken talking, U.S. Secretary of State. Here we go.
Ukraine, the determination of every country represented here at NATO remains rock solid. We will do everything that we can. Allies will do everything that they can to ensure that Ukraine has what it needs to continue to deal with Russia's ongoing aggression against Ukraine, an aggression that gets worse with every passing day. Ukraine will become a member of NATO. Our purpose at the summit is to help build a bridge to that membership and to create a clear pathway for Ukraine moving forward.
But, of course, we believe that Ukraine deserves to be...
All right, that's Ukrainian foreign minister right there.
Perfect. This is just perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
I thought that we weren't going to, you know, expand NATO.
Well, apparently we're going to expand. It's Putin's fault for invading NATO, or invading... Sorry, Ukraine. My bad. It's a little slip right there, invading Ukraine. Now, we're still, countries around the world are coming together and funding Ukraine and trying to help them, and they're not a member of NATO, you know? And so it still seems like we don't need NATO. I'm not sure.
Although NATO would force us to put boots on the ground.
Yeah.
And
doesn't that just sound lovely?
Yeah.
Aren't you excited about that?
Well, Lockheed Martin is pretty pumped about this.
I'm sure they are. I'm sure they are.
Boeing's not worrying about their planes anymore.
Mm-mm. No, they don't need to because they get most of their money from the government.
Ugh.
On the flip side of that, there were also words said yesterday about Taiwan.
Mm.
Okay. The words that were said was that we don't support independence for Taiwan. And to me... Now, it's not that I want to support independence for Taiwan by nature of us fighting a war or helping Taiwan fight a war or stealing money from you to give it to people in Taiwan so they can fight a war. But in these days where we put up these ridiculous, unnecessary virtue signals all the time, you would think that we would at least be able to signal that we support a country having independence from another tyrannical country. Ukraine is one of them that I can think of that is independent from Russia now for the last, 30 years or whatever it's been that they've been independent 40. Of them. And we're fighting for them with our dollars, and we're saying that they should be able to remain independent from Russia, even though Russia wants to resorb Ukraine back into their country. But then when it comes to Taiwan...
Resorb.
Yeah. They, when it comes to Taiwan, we're like, oh no, we don't support that. And why is that? It's because of money tied to China and Chinese influence in the U.S. and the U.S. government. That would be my assumption, anyhow.
Reportedly told President Biden during their summit in San Francisco that Beijing plans to reunify Taiwan with mainland China. Did the Chinese leader bring up a similar sentiment in their call the other day? And if so, what was President Biden's response?
Certainly Taiwan came up in the context of the call. There's not a single discussion that we don't have with senior leaders in the PRC where we don't talk about Taiwan. Of course it came up. I won't characterize President Xi's comments, but I can tell you that President Biden was very, very clear that nothing's changed about our one China policy. We don't support independence for Taiwan, but we also don't want to see the status quo changed in a unilateral way, and certainly not by force.
All right. We don't support independence for them, but also we don't support China acting on not having independence. Right. We want it to stay the way it is right now.
Yeah.
Okay. But we don't support independence for Taiwan because we have this one China policy. What about, you know, when you say you don't support independence for Taiwan, what about this whole democracy thing? Aren't we fighting, you know, in Ukraine, fighting Russia and Ukraine to protect democracy? Mm-hmm. Because Ukraine is this shining beacon of democracy that there is out there in the world. And then we have, you know, China potentially wanting to go to war to get Taiwan back. And we're like,
Taiwan.
Resorb, yeah. We don't really support that very much. I'm just super confused about... Yeah. I'm super confused about what the philosophy is here. And I think it boils down to money is the thing.
Yes.
You know, so.
Well, that protects America's national interests.
Money?
Yes.
Yeah, it does. That's true.
It's all about the national interest.
I sure do love that money. That's true. Okay, let's go to number two. This one comes courtesy of libs of TikTok. So let's spread some hate and violence around the internet real quick. We are live, by the way, on, I think, Twitter and YouTube and something else at the moment. But you guys don't get the vote. Only the live group, the Fed Haters Club, joingml.com. They get to vote on what the dumbest thing is.
We don't accept mail-in ballots.
No. We do not.
Either virtually or physically.
You have to be here directly. We have to verify your form of payment and ID and everything like that. And then you get to vote, okay, like it was intended. So anyhow,
can't be just getting social security numbers from dead people. No. Trying to register.
Mm-mm, not anymore.
Not for this.
Not anymore. Normally when I see things from libs of TikTok, I just kind of scroll past it because it's kind of blowing stuff out of proportion a lot of times.
Sometimes.
Singling out specific crazy people that maybe don't represent an entire group of people. This time,
sometimes they just repost videos.
That's true. Yeah, it's true.
Of actual people.
I also can't watch those videos because I refuse to accept that people like that exist. So I just can't do it. Anyhow, I told you about this one earlier, Charlie. What do you think?
All right. Unreal. The Mass General Brigham Hospital system will no longer report babies who are born with drugs in their system to child welfare because it disproportionately affects black people. Reporting child neglect is now racist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, I wanted to look into this some. I got the screenshots that Libs of TikTok posted, and it does, in fact, say that the hospital said this disproportionately affects black people, which is why I decided that it needed to be in Dumb Leap of the Week, because in none of the articles, I read three articles about this. There's not a ton of written up about this. I read three articles. None of them mentioned that, well, it turns out this is actually not dangerous for the babies. It turns out that this is actually okay. And, the babies aren't actually addicted to, say, the opioids and stuff like that they're born in their system. It was all, I'm saying, no one came out with science saying that it wasn't actually dangerous for children to be born addicted to drugs. No one said that.
They said it was that it disproportionately affects black people.
Yeah. And so one of the examples here, Charlie, go.
All right. Mandatory reporting of babies born dependent on a drug their birth parent was taking may be coming to an end in Massachusetts. Mass General Brigham, the state's largest hospital network, is joining Boston Medical Center in revising its policy. Now, instead of relying on an infant's blood test results, hospital staff will only report a baby to state investigators if there's concern about an imminent risk of abuse or neglect. Is that not? Well, I guess they're when they like, the mother can do whatever she wants because it's a fetus.
Yeah. It's not actually a baby yet.
But I guess if you put, alcohol in your baby's bottle, that's
bad.
That's bad.
If you were to give your baby opioids at day one, that would be bad.
Yeah.
But not a day negative one. that's not bad.
Mass General Brigham leaders said the change is allowed under state law. The state's mandatory reporting requirement says the Department of Children and Families must be notified if a child is injured by, among other things, dependence on an addictive drug at birth. Current interpretation of the law has led most hospitals to file child welfare reports for newborns dependent on drugs such as opioids. The reporting requirement has come under increasing scrutiny during the drug overdose crisis, in part because women report stopping medications like buprenorphine or methadone, which are used to treat addictions during pregnancy. To say their fear traces to those medications in their newborns could cause them to lose custody of their babies.
My easy recommendation is
that, so they stop those medications, but they continue heroin.
Then they go to the other ones. Yeah. My immediate suggestion is to not get pregnant and have a baby while you're addicted to opioids or whatever that could be dangerous for the health of a baby. But I know sometimes accidents happen. I get it. And hey, at least he didn't decide to kill the kid, which is glorified these days. It's healthcare,
yeah,
as some people might say. So that's one thing. This talks about the substance abuse. This is the important slide right here.
All right. BMC staff are directed to report suspected abuse only after a child is born and if they have concerns about the parent's ability to safely care for the child. BMC continues to advocate for reforms to state law that allow all pregnant people, not women.
I just boxed that in because I thought that was funny. Yeah,
statewide to be treated with equity and compassion. Mass General Brigham said changing its child welfare reporting guidelines is part of a larger effort to eliminate racism in the health system. So you're saying they only report black people? Do they not report white people who also are on drugs?
They report when the babies are born addicted to drugs, but unfortunately, this disproportionately affects black people.
Mm. Several studies have documented higher drug testing rates for black newborns compared to white infants, and black babies are more likely to be reported for alleged abuse and neglect. So they test, it says higher drug testing rates, meaning that they test black newborns more than they test white newborns for suspected drug abuse.
That's what it's alluding to. I don't know about that one. I'm not sure about that. Now, if that's the case where they're like deciding whether or not to test the baby is based on whether or not the parents are white or black, well, then that's wrong. Mm. Okay. What bothered me from these articles I read was that none of them talked about how, well, this actually isn't dangerous for the health of the baby. None of them talked about how they needed to still be sure that they were protecting the child or whatever. They all talk about how the rights of the mothers and how it could be dangerous for people that are in drug treatment programs, not mentioning like, oh, it also could be dangerous for babies that are being born addicted to opiates. And then they say that it disproportionately affects black people. And those are all just really stupid reasons, in my opinion. Now, if you wanted to say this actually isn't important and it doesn't actually affect the health of the baby and all that kind of stuff, well, let's just make that argument and say that that's why you stopped doing it. But don't do it because most of the people you're reporting are black.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Right. It just so happens that there are more black babies born addicted to drugs than there are others. So
apparently.
Yeah. Let's get mad at the facts. The facts are racist.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Dumb bleep number three.
How about stop doing drugs?
Septic installer is sentenced to 7 years for urging January 6th mob with a megaphone. So there's a guy with a megaphone. When I saw the headline, I was like, oh, are they talking about Ray Epps? A guy with a megaphone urging the January 6th mob? No, they're talking about this guy. And I get it. Ray Epps with a megaphone was the day before. And so you can't, that's not it. So no, technically, legally, that's not incitement. It's got to be like immediate at that time.
Yeah.
And so this guy, you know, sure, that fits within the law more so. They got him for assaulting a police officer, which is funny when we get to that part, by the way. A Washington State man has been sentenced to more than 7 years in prison for his role in the January 6, 2021 attack on the U.S. Capitol, where prosecutors said he used a megaphone to urge other rioters to barge through a police line. And he put a gun to their head and he forced them to do it at the same time. The man, Taylor James Janatakis, 40, of Kingston, was sentenced Wednesday after being convicted last fall of three felony charges: obstruction of an official proceeding, interfering with law enforcement during a civil disorder, and assaulting law enforcement, and four misdemeanor charges, according to D.C. Before Jan 6, Janatakis posted numerous messages on social media expressing his desire to interfere with the election certification process at the Capitol. Quote, "That's why I'm going to D.C. to change the course of history. Stop the steal." I bet no one else has ever gone to D.C. to try and change the course of history before.
Uh-uh. Mm. Stop the steal. That hashtag seems familiar.
I've heard of that one before. Yeah. Wearing a red MAGA hat and a backpack and carrying a megaphone, Mr. Janatakis led a group of people up to a police line on the Capitol Southwest stairs on Jan 6, urging rioters to push them out of here, according to a court filing. Officer body camera footage showed Mr. Janatakis lifting a metal barricade and pushing it into the officers as he led a countdown over his megaphone, 1, 2, 3, go. Other footage showed Mr. Janatakis grabbing an officer's arm.
Oh.
Poor officer's arm got grabbed.
Mm.
Do you think it bruised him?
Probably.
Ego? Should we get like handproof vest to put around officers' arms, just in case anyone ever grabs them?
Elbow pads. Yeah.
Okay. There we go.
And put officers on blades, rollerblades. Mm-hmm. You know, their elbow pads and helmets.
Let's see. One of the cops testified that the confrontation was frightening. Mm-hmm. Said, "I thought they were going to come through. I thought we were going to be trampled. I thought we were going to be hurt. I thought we were going to die."
Oh.
Those things, they didn't happen. but he was scared.
Yeah.
So after the police secured the perimeter around the Capitol, Mr. Gennadikas recorded videos of himself walking away and posted them on social media. He said, "I was on the front line." He said in one, according to the court records, "I was on the gate. I organized a push up to the Capitol because I felt like that is exactly what we needed." All right. So, by the way, the prosecutors asked for a bigger sentence, even further than the federal sentencing guidelines for the specific crime, because they wanted to make a point about this kind of stuff. Here's the thing. I don't want to whataboutism this whole thing to death. But what bothers me when I read about this story was when you put things in context, remember that this happened in early January, on the 6th, actually, in 2021. We had just come out of a year, 2020, where it looked like it was totally fine to do whatever the F you wanted during a riot and assault police officers and push through barricades if you felt the cause was great enough. Mm-hmm. And what you found was actually not that much would be done to you.
I think the problem is they didn't set fire to the Capitol building.
There, that is the problem.
You know? Because like if they, like, you know, in Minnesota, they just burned the police station.
And that's what made it mostly peaceful.
All right. If they would have just set, I set fire to the Capitol.
I don't know what you're singing, but yeah.
I set fire to the rain. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I gotcha.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to go fire. Yeah. You know, that one right there. Anyhow.
We don't need no water.
Gennadikas is one of more than 1,350 people who have been charged in connection with the Jan 6 attack in which angry demonstrators urged on by President Donald J. Trump's lies about the 2020 election being stolen, attempted to halt the certification of the results. Now we brought...
Can we not convict, or can we not talk about all the Democrats who urged and incited the BLM protests?
No, no one told people to go out there and fight like hell. That just didn't happen. Now we keep bringing up BLM, and listen up, Charlie, you have been lied to by the media. Mm. Okay. Cause I wanted to fact check some stuff. And so we fact checked it. All right. Thousands of Black Lives Matter protesters were arrested in 2020. Okay, so this whole narrative that we've been spinning, it just isn't true. Since the nationwide protests following George Floyd's murder in summer 2020, misinformation about BLM has spread online, ranging from misleading claims about the movement's founder to false assertions about the group's politics. Another claim on Facebook: BLM burned our cities and destroyed $2 billion worth of property. They faced no consequences. Their lawlessness celebrated and excused, reads text in the post.
Lawlessness.
Published by a page called The Right View of the United States. So yes, I'm absolutely fine with some truckers and farmers clogging roads and bridges for freedom. Actually, if you're against one, you should be against the other, but whatever. Mm-hmm. Who cares? While the post contains an element of truth, it presents a misleading comparison of the, they're talking about Freedom Convoy here and BLM protests. Some reports have estimated insurance claims for damages related to the 2020 protests totaled about $2 billion. However, the Post is wrong to claim protesters saw no consequences. In fact, over 10,000 protesters were arrested, most for low-level offenses. So they rated as partly false because he was right about the $2 billion worth of damage, but wrong that demonstrators faced no consequences. Let's double-check this fact check, though, and go to The Guardian. Let's double check that fact check when we come back here in just a couple short minutes. Is it true that all these people were arrested and actually it's quite comparable to things like Jan 6 and all of that, that there hasn't been unequal treatment by the law? We'll see you when we come back.
The crimes of the state. Eleutheromania. The insatiable desire for freedom. It's the new three-song heavy metal EP from Captain Kickass. Available now on your favorite music app or get it directly from CaptainKickass.com.
Before the break, we were talking about whether or not there's been unequal carriage of justice between BLM and Jan 6. Well, most charges against the George Floyd protesters were dropped, analysis shows. I fact-checked the fact-check. this morning already. The vast majority of citations and charges against George Floyd protesters were ultimately dropped, dismissed, or otherwise not filed, according to a Guardian analysis of law enforcement records and media reports in a dozen jurisdictions around the nation. But some prosecutors and law enforcement observers charged that departments carried out mass arrests as a crowd control tactic, as a means to silence peaceful protesters, and as a public relations strategy designed to turn the public against demonstrators by making them appear more violent than they actually were. Anyhow, let's get down to it. In most of a dozen jurisdictions examined, at least 90% of cases were dropped or dismissed. In some cities like Dallas and Philadelphia, as many as 95% of citations were dropped or not prosecuted. So when you go back to this fact check, they say this is false because it turns out thousands of protesters were arrested.
People weren't getting 20-year prison sentences.
But they didn't get charged and convicted.
Yeah.
The charges were dropped.
7 years in prison.
That's not actually what happened. In Houston, 93% of citations were dropped. In Los Angeles, 93% of citations were not filed. The prosecutor's office in San Francisco dismissed all 127 cases related to peaceful protest-related charges, though data for more serious citations is not available. So there could be more citations that we don't know about. In Dallas, 95% of cases were not filed. The department dropped about 675 charges stemming from one protest. Still, it sent nearly 200 charges to the prosecutor's office, of which about 85% of those were dropped or had not been filed as of September. In Philadelphia, police sent over 1,700 charges to the city. They dropped 95% of those charges. So, I don't know. I don't know if that fact check is false or true. I just thought
and
that.
And they're handling a large portion of the more serious misdemeanors and felonies with a restorative justice program that involves dropping charges upon completion of the program.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't get 7 to 20 years. No one got any life sentences for grabbing someone's arm or anything like that. Okay.
Or burning a building.
That's interesting.
Or killing someone.
Probably those charges weren't dropped, I would bet.
But, stealing.
No, you can't
looting.
Worry about that. People have insurance.
Yeah.
That's fine. That's totally fine. Okay. Just so we could...
Someone from the live group was like, well, no one died in the BLM protests. They all died of COVID.
With COVID.
With COVID, yeah.
Sorry, Josh. I'm sorry.
I'm not.
Listen, I almost didn't do this, but then I had to remind myself, well, what if it didn't say Josh Heckel at the top? Well, I would put this in here for Double Leap of the Week. I would.
Yeah.
Okay. And so therefore, in the spirit of truth, we'll have to go through this. Go ahead, Charlie.
All right. Josh Heckel tweets, stop repeating the quote, both sides are equally bad line. They're not. I think there's fine people on both sides.
There are.
On one side, you have an old man who spends way too much, wants to raise taxes, hasn't done enough to end drug prohibition, pushes for gun control, has countless misguided policy proposals.
This is a new one.
Oh, sorry. On the other side, you have an old man who spent way too much, wants to raise taxes via tariffs, wants to ramp up drug prohibition, pass more gun control than any president in modern history, has countless misguided policy proposals and has 90 plus criminal charges, tried to stop the peaceful transfer of power, promised to build sprawling camps to deport millions, wants to weaponize the military against his domestic enemies, wants to federalize local police, oversaw the largest money printing binge in world history, simps for Putin and Xi, promised to be a dictator if reelected, stacked his cabinet with people who called for military coup against the government, dines with neo-Nazis and white supremacists, sets records for civilians killed in drone strikes, has called the attack to Mexico. These are not the same.
Not the same. So first off, on its face, I just want to say, listen, Josh is a nice guy, but he has...
I didn't get any credit for reading.
That was good.
That.
Well, I was going to give you credit if you did the whole thing without taking the breath.
Oh, I needed one
you had to
breath.
Do the Ace Ventura.
Yeah.
He had to do that whole thing.
But, I should have done that after the ant, and then that would have been good.
Yeah. Josh has TDS. And I'm not talking about the broadband service here in Nashville. Okay. Cause that's been gone ever since Trump got rid of net neutrality. That's one of the things that he should have put on here. You know,
you're going to the Big D and don't mean Dallas.
Yeah. It's not talking about that. He's got Trump derangement syndrome. You can tell by one way, in one way, because he lists off these five things for Biden and say countless misguided policy proposals. He doesn't click the drop down and expand on every single thing Biden has done that he disagrees with. And no doubt there's a lot of things that Biden has done that he disagrees with.
Yes.
But he chooses not to list those things out. Why does he choose to not list those things out? Because he wants to list out all of Trump's things. That's why. And he messed up a bit, and he kind of admitted it in a funny response to what I had to say, because he was trying to be dramatic, and he said that Trump passed more gun control than any president in modern history. And my response was, is 1994 not modern history?
Yeah.
Because I sort of feel like 1994 is still modern history, where we got the federal assault weapons ban. Okay, and the Violent Crime Control and Law Enforcement Act of 1994, which was passed by Congress and signed into law by Bill Clinton. I sort of feel like banning assault weapons is more gun control
than banning bump stocks.
Yeah. All right.
And arguing for red flag laws.
Mm-hmm. And being in favor of red flag. Yeah.
Yes.
That's true. That's true too. Costco said that expired. And so, and there's been enough time passed now that fell off of Bill Clinton's record. You know, 7 years goes by and it doesn't show up on your credit report anymore.
Yeah.
And so he doesn't lose credit for it anymore. I got you. Yeah, that's what it is. So
what is an assault weapon?
I brought this up and listen, Josh knew that he messed up on that one because I said it's 1994, not modern history. And he said, I mean, it was 30 years ago with a kind of laughing, sweating face. I'm like, oh yeah, I screwed that one up.
Yeah.
I forgot about the assault weapons ban in 1994. Mm-hmm. So he could have just said in the last 20 years or in the 21st century or something like that. But instead, modern history is a more dramatic way to say that. And I think if it still includes my life and your life, I think that fits within modern history, in my opinion.
Maybe, yeah. Gen Zers would disagree.
Yeah. But the problem is he hates Trump so much that didn't happen in his brain while he was typing it out. All he thought about was, how do I make Trump look as bad as possible? Mm-hmm. That's it. That's all I care about.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. So anyhow, that's thumb leap number four, Josh Heckel.
Well, and basically the reason why it's dumb is because if you do expand Biden's, that drop down list that he should have had, both sides are equally bad.
They're both bad. I think Biden's worse. Yeah. I mean, Donald, but equally bad.
You have BDS.
Still think Biden's worse.
Yeah, you know.
BDS. Sounds like a bowel problem.
Yeah. You have Biden derangement syndrome. You know, you're maybe listening to too many people on the right.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
All right.
They both suck.
Mm-hmm.
They do. They are both old and they both suck. And they're willing, neither one of them are principled. By the way.
Oh, that's true.
Yes. So equally bad on both sides. It is true.
You think you're saying that there's terrible people on both sides?
Yes.
Okay.
I am, actually. And then you can pick and choose. Like, I would say Biden is way worse on foreign policy. They're both increasingly horrible spenders. I mean, look, I've said this from the beginning. Trump is a liberal from New York.
Dude, we had $1 trillion deficit. It's
never changed.
We had $1 trillion deficit before COVID.
Yes. Know?
And then we got the COVID. And then we signed the biggest spending package ever in the history of the entire world that we know of.
Yes.
You know, could have been way more, 10,000 years ago or whatever.
Yep. Exactly. Trump is a 90s New York Democrat.
Which today is a Republican.
Yeah. Well, that's why he's the top of the ticket.
Yeah.
And neither one of them are, I would say you could say that Trump maybe is slightly better for the economy only on the fact that he allows businesses to be more business.
A little less regulation.
Yes.
You know.
Which is helpful for business and the economy, which is helpful for economics, which I would argue is the most important thing. I would also argue that foreign wars is probably, or the foreign policy is more important, and Trump had a better foreign policy, but God, as far as like the other thing, Trump is bad on economics, though. It's like he's good on some things and other things. He's like, well, tariffs, and we'll spend all the money and we're just going to make a good deal. All right.
That's a great Trump impersonation. Sounds just like him.
Just it's the Tennessee.
That's one of the better ones I've heard.
It's the Tennessee version of him. You know, so
it's gotta be great,
It's even hard to make an economic argument. Like, I would say Trump is only slightly better because of like reduced regulation than taxes, which is good for business. Whereas Biden wants to spend money and increase taxes and increase regulations, like. No part of Biden's economic plan is good for the economy whatsoever, even though employment just hit, you know, another month of lows.
Well, that's because people have more than one job. So the AOC said. Actually, most of the jobs that, we're not going to get into jobs today. What's wrong with the economy? Oh, speaking of, it's not the economy.
It's you.
It's you, not the data. This comes from the Wall Street Journal, just so you know. Now, they make some points in here about how people are maybe misunderstanding the data, like this first one here. In the Wall Street Journal's latest poll of swing states, 74% of respondents said inflation has moved in the wrong direction in the past year. This assessment, which holds across all seven states, is startling. It's simply not true.
That is true.
I'm not stating an opinion. This isn't something on which reasonable people can disagree.
Yeah, they can.
Well, so the question is, inflation moved in the wrong direction. Well, inflation is lower in the last year than it was the previous year.
But still up.
Okay. But it is still up.
Prices are still going up.
The easy way to explain this is that when you say inflation, people think that simply just means prices going up, and prices are going up, which is the wrong direction. They don't want that because we still have inflation and prices are still going up. So people are upset. I'm not going to go through the entire article for time purposes, and because we don't have to. I am sick to death of this argument, and I keep hearing it all over the place, especially on days like today where we get a lower unemployment number, 3.8%, 330,000 jobs out of whatever. The argument, if you turn on any mainstream news outlet, is this economy is booming. Don't pay attention to what the surveys say, what the polls say, whatever it is. The people are wrong. They just don't get it.
Don't check your receipts at the grocery store.
No, they're clouded by their hatred for Biden, or the media is making them think the economy is worse than it actually is, but it's actually really good and the people are wrong. And this is just your common argument that you hear out there all the time. And the thing is, it's just not true. And we talked about this last week or the week before. But the reason it's not true is because people remember more than just the last year or just the last 5 months. Say wages have been outpacing inflation for the last 6 months. Okay, well, that's great. What about the 3 years before that? What are you going to do about that?
Have we caught up?
No, we have not caught up. And then when you think about inflation, well, inflation has been cut down to 3.whatever%. And it was 6 last year. It was 9.2 the year before that. And so the economy is getting better. All of those numbers add together, and people don't just have a 1 year span of memory. They might even remember 10 years, you know, but they definitely remember three. Most people remember 3 years other than Biden. You know, most other people remember.
You can't remember yesterday.
No. Yeah. And what they remember is that inflation is not just up 3.2%. They remember that inflation is 19%. And they remember that.
And on some things, it's over 100. Yeah,
that's the thing. It's not just 19. Those are the fake numbers anyhow. Yeah. All right. It's actually probably been 30 to 40% at least over that time. And then even more, actually, if you are taking into account, if you buy the same brand of product that you used to buy at the grocery store, it's probably 100%.
Yeah.
At least 100%.
I saw some data that, you know, talks about some core groceries like eggs and bread, things like that, that are up anywhere from 40 to 100% from 2020 to 2024.
Yeah.
I mean, so people are most people are still going to buy those things, even if they buy the off brand or whatever. Even those are up 40% on your core products.
Mm-hmm. And then if you've kept buying the same brand of whatever it is, drink, man, how much are Dr. Pepper Zeros up these days?
100%.
It's 100%?
Yeah.
You know, I made I made chili this week, and I looked at the chili mix I use. I use Chilio, have to use Chilio, French's Chilio. It's up about 150% from what I used to pay.
Why don't you make your own?
I don't switch. Chili powder?
Yeah.
No. No.
Don't make your own seasoning?
No, I don't have time for that.
Oh, okay.
No one cares. Mm-hmm. Chilio does it better.
All right.
French's does it better. But it's up about 150% from that time. So if you've kept buying the same products, then your grocery bill is probably up 100%. And people know that. They're not stupid. Mm-hmm. But the numbers don't count things like that. They assume that I started buying Kroger brand chili mix. Uh-uh. I ain't going to buy Kroger brand chili mix.
Or make your own.
No.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep buying the same thing that my grandma bought. Mm-hmm. All right? That's what we're going to do. Anyhow, so I'm absolutely sick of this argument. So Wall Street Journal, what's wrong with the economy? It's you, not the data. That's number five. Let's get on to number six. We got a new lawsuit coming down right now against social media companies. And this is from the families of the mass shooting in Buffalo. Okay. And so this is sad. A bunch of people got killed in Buffalo. I don't agree with that whatsoever. Did seem to be actually a racist mass shooting that occurred. And now these families are suing social media for allowing these ideas on their platform, but not really. They're getting around it. They're getting around the free speech argument. They're suing the companies for the way that their algorithms operate in promulgating divisive and hateful rhetoric. So it's not for allowing the speech. It's for the way that the companies built their platforms to amplify things like hate or racism or whatever, which I don't think is still not a thing.
I looked at the code, you know, the algorithm, and basically at the top of the code, you know, the first filter on whether or not, the first parameter on whether or not they're going to boost the content is hate.
Yeah.
It just say there's a comment next to the line of code. It says hate, boost for hate.
Mm-hmm. If hate,
yeah,
then
if hate up, I want it up.
Up,
go further. Here's the thing. All these algorithms, they work very similarly, which is the more interaction that a specific post has, the broader it's going to reach. It's the Pareto distribution.
Whether it's hate or not, it's essentially people telling the algorithm that people want to see this post. Then the more people react to it, the more the algorithm says people want to see this post.
Yeah.
And so then it gets more and more popular.
It's political content. So on Instagram, they're I don't know if you've seen it or not. They're automatically censoring, and they tell you this now. There's a default setting. They're automatically basically censoring political content.
Mm.
And so if you want to see more political content, you actually have to go into your settings and click off a button that will filter political content.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Isn't that interesting?
I haven't been on Instagram in a long time. Go ahead, Charlie.
All right. The families of those murdered in the racist mass shooting in Buffalo in 2022 can continue with their lawsuits against social media companies that they contend helped fuel the killer's racist hate. A judge this week refused to dismiss lawsuits, against the social media companies, including Meta, 4chan, Reddit, and YouTube. The social media companies had sought the dismissal. Peyton Gendron,
I don't know,
who fatally shot 10 black people at a Buffalo Tops supermarket in May 2022, was partly driven by his belief in what is known as the white replacement theory. Erie County-based State Supreme Court Justice Paula Feroletto noted in her decision. The families of the victims maintain that Gendron discovered the concept on postings in the social media universe, found like-minded racists, then set out on his murderous mission. The social media networks have done nothing to monitor and address content of the sort, the lawsuits contend.
Wouldn't it be great if we could go back to a time before social media when there was no racism?
Yeah.
Because it wasn't allowed, it wasn't boosted by these companies, you know?
Yeah.
I just wish we could go back to that. That was me being sarcastic, by the way.
I was wondering, previously when, the KKK had to meet in person, you know? And maybe they, they made those robes or whatever. Yeah. And then maybe they wrote ideas down on paper.
Yeah.
Could you sue the paper company for facilitating?
The one that had the paper?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Sue the paper companies for facilitating those meetings.
What about the pen company?
The pen? Who? Yes. Mm-hmm. Bic or whatever.
Whoever.
Those hateful.
Made the fountain pens.
Yeah.
Way back then.
Can you sue the wood company that they used to build the cross?
What about the sheets?
Yeah.
You know?
Sheet
those
company?
Those bed sheets they put on their horses and rode around.
Yeah.
You know?
What about the horse? Can you sue the people who bred the horses?
I don't know. It all depends on whether or not they allowed them to get so many likes that they went viral. You know? And I don't know how they did that back then.
Yeah. It's.
I don't think we have to go through the whole thing here. It's right. Ridiculous. Mm-hmm. There's always been racism. Unfortunately, there's probably always going to be racism more than likely. I don't think these companies are liable for this whatsoever. Maybe it's up to them if they want to go on their platforms and try to censor things like the great replacement theory or the white replacement theory or whatever the theory is, then they can go and do that. But people sharing ideas in a public forum, I think it's up to the people. And ultimately, the responsible party is the person who decided to get a gun or some guns and some armor and go do a really terrible thing. There's been really bad ideas out there for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I would argue that we have way less racist violence these
days.
And
I would argue if you're trying, here's what I would argue. If you're actually trying to prevent things like this, letting them openly talk about it mm-hmm. on social media is the best way to know about it.
Because then you get the NSA after them, you know, well, the FBI.
They're putting it out in public. Like, it's way easier to watch someone like that who's literally putting it out on public.
Beforehand, you had to know what part of the woods everyone was meeting at.
Yeah.
To talk about these things.
Yeah.
You know, now it's right there on 4chan or whatever. So, anyhow, that's number six. We'll get on to number seven and eight when we come back. The conclusion of Dumb Bleep of the Week and the winner. Go to Good Morning Liberty on your podcast app or BrennyLies.com in your browser so you can listen to us every single day of the week. We're back, Liberty at Night, with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network, and we are almost to the conclusion of Dumb Bleep of the Week. It's about number seven. Net neutrality is back. Thank God, because...
We argued about this on the Big Freedom Show back when we first started.
Obama...
Was that aught-17?
It might have been.
Yeah.
Obama tried to save the internet, and he did for a couple of years, and then Trump came into office... And he yet again destroyed the internet. And ever since he got rid of net neutrality.
That's what led to Jan 6.
Yeah. And see, this is what
and
destroys
Buffalo.
Democracy right here yeah. is not having net neutrality. Yeah. That's the problem. And so as you know, as all of us are aware, it doesn't even need repeating. Since Trump got rid of net neutrality in 2017, your download and upload speeds have suffered. They have gone remarkably down since then. Prices per... download megabits, megabyte, whatever you want to call it, have skyrocketed. It's unaffordable, actually. Mm-hmm. Internet is.
Yeah.
And so, luckily, the FCC wants to come in and finally fix the internet.
Yeah.
Once again. So, on April 25th, the FCC, not going to let us be, will vote to restore landmark rules governing net neutrality, a federal policy with a history of popular bipartisan support that safeguards free speech online by requiring federally contracted telecom companies like AT&T to treat all internet traffic the same, barring them from blocking websites or slowing down internet speed for profit. In October, Democrats retook majority control of the five-member FCC, finally ending the commission's 2-2 partisan deadlock, which has stymied efforts by President Joe Biden to restore the Obama-era Title II net neutrality rules for more than 3 years. Quote, the pandemic made clear that broadband is an essential service that every one of us, no matter who we are or where we live, needs it to have a fair shot at success in the digital age.
We didn't even have the internet 30 years ago. Or maybe barely. We barely had it 30 years ago.
Well, not to mention, like, okay, the pandemic made clear, first off, what you did during the pandemic made clear that internet is really important, where you force people to stay in their homes and stuff like that. And so now you're using that as an example for why you need to take over these companies afterwards. Secondly, what do we got? No internet? What's the problem here? Internet's gotten better. It's better than it's ever been right now. Yeah. Tell me the website you go on and you're just like, oh, it just won't freaking do. Oh, there it is. Okay, good.
Yeah. Got
it.
The government websites.
Yeah, the government ones. Those are the ones that don't work.
Those are the most frustrating. Hard to navigate. You have no idea where to click.
The market saw that people needed internet during this time, and the market has rolled out better, faster internet for everyone. And you're telling me that they got to take this over? What? Because allegedly, here's the allegedly. Netflix takes a second every once in a while. Yeah. That's it?
Yeah.
And it's not even a thing. It's a made-up problem.
We need instant miracles, Nate. You know?
Yeah, I'm going into Louis C.K. there for a minute.
Has anybody ever have you ever thought about how any of this works and just how unbelievable
it's pretty crazy.
It really is?
Mm-hmm.
You realize streaming a movie, especially like over Wi-Fi, that these bits of data like hang on to these microwaves that are flying through the air,
They're flying
To a system which will take all those bits of data and convert it back into the movie that it's supposed to be. And in almost instantaneous time, will display that movie back to you.
And it goes through this right here.
Through the air.
Your entire life.
Or it goes through the air.
Through this thing right here. It's amazing. The entire thing is a miracle.
Honestly, I don't even know how they came up with it.
I don't either.
You know?
Dude, I don't understand how radio works.
Yeah.
You tell me how you put something in the air that I can't see, and it comes back down with pretty good quality, bass lines thumping, all that kind of stuff. I can hear words, and it's playing through my car, which is just more wires it comes in, the more wires, and they go out to this thing, and if you're rich, they got Kevlar in them, but like it's just thing right here, and it makes a perfect sound.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Quit complaining.
Yeah. Yeah. It's impressive.
Okay.
And because you have to wait maybe a second.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. 10, that's like worst case scenario.
For that miracle to display.
Yeah.
You know what happens? Like, what happens when the power goes out? You know?
We all die.
And the internet doesn't work.
That's bad for democracy.
What are we doing with that essential service?
This article from the Federalist...
Dan's right. It's all just fancy flashlights. Super fancy flashlights.
This article from the Federalist is arguing that we're going to have more government censorship with net neutrality. They start off by talking about the Supreme Court case that are going against these social media companies the Biden administration and the people that were censored on social media. But later on, they're saying the case assumes additional importance amid the FCC's attempt to resurrect the discredited Title II net neutrality regulations that would designate internet service as a public utility subject to federal micromanagement under Depression-era statutes meant for obsolete copper wire telephone service. What could possibly go wrong by placing one of the nation's most dynamic economic sectors under greater control of the federal bureaucracies? Actually, the idea was imposed at the end of the Obama administration, and the results were immediate and destructive. For the first time in history, outside of an economic recession, private broadband investment declined after the Trump administration rescinded the Title II rules and returned to the long-standing light-touch internet service regulations from the FTC, I think. Internet investment resumed and internet performance accelerated and even outperformed all expectations through the COVID pandemic. This week, the FCC announced it will vote later this month to revert to the Obama-era net neutrality rules. And essentially what they're saying is that, as noted above, reimposing net neutrality regulations upon ISPs would allow the federal government to dictate the types of services offered and even the prices that could be charged. In turn, that would allow federal bureaucrats the authority to penalize ISPs that fail to toe the administration's line versus other more compliant internet service providers.
And just a clear example about how like the executive branch is making laws, you know, and they're able to turn them on and turn them off depending on who's in charge.
Yep.
Like people didn't vote for this. Nobody voted for this. Nobody voted for a representative for net neutrality or whatever. It's ridiculous.
Now, the administration already was going after social media companies and saying, hey, you guys need to censor this specific post or censor this specific post. Okay. You know, we need you to hold this back. This is bad. What happens when these are public utilities and now they're going to AT&T and they're saying, hey, we see that you're giving the same data speeds to InfoWars and Alex Jones, you know, and their platform and Twitter and X. And actually, we're seeing Bitcoin. Yes. And all of those are going to be flowing through your wires. And what we see is that that's really dangerous for democracy. And it's actually leading to hate and violence. And people are dying because of what you're doing. So we're going to need you to slow down these specific services and prioritize these other ones from PBS and or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
That would never happen. Because the Biden administration claims it would never use net neutrality powers to set prices or infringe on your rights or anything like that. They're just not going to do it. Okay?
Yeah.
Not going to happen. Well, let's see. I found, we don't have to go through all this stuff, the headlines about how the internet was over after 2017 when Trump got rid of this. I mean, they are really funny. Maybe they're worth looking at. The end of the internet as we know it. That's a pretty good one from CNN. Let's see. The Verge, net neutrality is dead. It's time to fear Mickey Mouse. I don't know why you're scared about Mickey Mouse. Internet, a lifeline for LGBTQ people. And so advocates are slamming net neutrality. We've seen almost no gay on the internet anymore now that they repealed this.
Can't say gay.
Yeah. Let's see. Now, this is what could happen to the web. All really terrible things.
How the FCC's killing of net neutrality will ruin the internet forever. Yeah, because, you know, it went on. We had it for 25 years without net neutrality.
If Trump's FCC repeals net neutrality, elites will rule the internet and the future. So you know what? Let's let the government rule the internet.
Yeah,
because they're not elites.
Uh-huh.
Basically, the idea here is that none of these terrible things happened. The internet got better and faster and more people are using it. And we've even got new things. We got SpaceX since the whole net neutrality. We got Starlink since that thing. And you don't even have to worry about these wired broadband providers. So anyhow, that's enough on. That's all I had to say about that. I did see a chart about internet download speeds, end of the internet. And how much they've gone up since then. I mean, the internet did not die. That's the point. It got way better because that's what the market does.
That's a 300% increase.
Yeah.
Since the end of the internet speeds.
Well, it probably would have been 350.
Yeah.
So that's what you got.
Oh, Robert Reich.
Robert Reich makes it in for dumb bleep number 8. It's the last one. Then we got to get the votes in and get out of here. He says,
there are basically 5 ways to accumulate $1 billion. 1, profiting from a monopoly. 2, insider trading. 3, political payoffs. 4, fraud. 5, inheritance from one of the previous 4.
Yeah, I guess
so. Don't believe the self-made myth.
Now, you posted this with an article attached to it, just so you know, but I want to attack this first off, or maybe we'll come back to it later. 5 ways to accumulate $1 billion. I don't think that he is actually stupid. I think he's malevolent. Sometimes you can say that people are just stupid, but Robert Reich has been around long enough that he knows that there are numerous ways to accumulate $1 billion. Okay. Number one is you could put a gun in people's head and tax them to death. That's one of the ways you accumulate $1 billion.
Or a trillion.
Yeah. Or trillions. Yeah, that's right. Now, the other one could be that you created the product or service that people wanted to use and it made their lives better. Uh-huh. And millions of people
used it. Let's see how Amazon fits into the, oh, well, they're a monopoly.
So it's a monopoly.
They have 33.
What about Walmart? Well, that's a monopoly, yeah. Right? That's
like 33% of market share. Or
get your groceries
like
at Walmart?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yep. You do all your shopping at Walmart? Mm-hmm. Probably?
Yeah.
It's Amazon and Walmart are monopolies, even though they're in competition with one another.
I mean, Microsoft was a monopoly. They broke that up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had to break Microsoft up from monopolizing the internet.
That's true.
You know, holding Netscape down. You know?
But the other thing is, hardly anyone accumulates $1 billion because they were getting paid. They were getting paid $100 million a year, on their salary. You know, and 10 years later, they accumulated $1 billion. Let's say 11. They had some expenses along the way. They accumulated $1 billion. They accumulate $1 billion because they own stock in companies that are doing well in the stock market and that have a lot of public private investment into those companies. that's actually how, like, everyone has $1 billion, like all of them that have billions of dollars, is how you actually get that money. And he doesn't list that at all. That's maybe just insider trading. I don't know. That's all it can be.
Yeah.
He knows better than this. Now, the article connected is all billionaires under 30 have inherited their wealth, research finds. And so he talks about inheritance. And the idea now is that all the billionaires we got today, they weren't self-made. They just inherited their wealth from their rich family and stuff like that. And so you go through the article. Go through the article, Charlie.
All right. All the world's billionaires younger than 30 inherited their wealth, the first wave of the great wealth transfer, in which more than 1,000 wealthy people are expected to pass on more than $5.2 trillion to their heirs over the next two decades. There are already more billionaires than ever before, 2,781 of them.
That's a lot of billionaires.
Still a small class, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, and the number is expected to soar in the coming years as the elderly generation of super rich people prepare to give their fortunes to their children.
Now, that's one important thing to keep in mind. The number of billionaires expanding exponentially because the old guy dies and he leaves the money to his five kids. So now they're...
As long as he has $5
billion. Yeah. Now, as long as he has more than $5 billion, we just expanded by four more billionaires. Just because one guy died. Uh-huh. And then you see this number like, oh, the number of billionaires is exploding. Guarantee you we're going to be seeing these headlines in the next 5-10 years. And it's going to be because of inheritance.
Research by Forbes magazines found that there were 15 billionaires. So they're talking about 15 people here.
Yeah, out of the 2,781. Yeah,
age 30 or under, but that none had created their own wealth, instead benefiting from huge inheritances among... Now,
we don't have to go through the
actual
people. Now,
here's what's funny. Mm-hmm. Do you know... I don't remember her name, but you know the lady who created Bumble? It was a woman who created Bumble, celebrated as a self-made billionaire.
Mm.
You know, she used to work for Tinder. Mm-hmm. She had this idea for Bumble. She left Tinder, created Bumble, became, I think it's the second most popular dating app, self-made billionaire. Mm. The lady who started Spanx, self-made billionaire. Now, these women are celebrated.
Yeah.
All kinds of articles celebrated. Now, I think they're slightly over 30. I think the lady who created Bumble might be like 32 or something like that, or 35. I don't remember. The Spanx lady, it took her several years. I think maybe she's in her 40s. All self-made billionaires that are celebrated as being self-made billionaires.
Yeah.
But of course, we don't. Robert Reich thinks that doesn't can't happen unless you're a woman.
Well, you know, inheritances are bad. You know what's not bad? Divorcing a billionaire and becoming a billionaire.
Especially
that's good.
When you give it all away.
Yeah, that's good. Uh-huh. But it is important to note that they're making the point, Robert Reich's making the point, that all these billionaires are just inheriting their wealth. And they say all the world's billionaires younger than 30 inherited their wealth. It's only 15 people out of 2,781 billionaires that there are out there. And he's using this to make this broader point about billionaires and wealth transfer and all this kind of stuff. And by the way, good point, Dan, 5.2 trillion over 20 years, that's going to be inherited. That's maybe about 9 months of 1 year of the federal government's budget. So when people see that number, they're like, oh, we should tax that. If we just did a 2% wealth tax, we'd be able to fund every single thing in the history of the world, except for we already spend that much money in just 9 months.
10 months.
Maybe 10. The U.S. government does, and so it would actually just do nothing except for... Yeah. Destroy wealth and the incentive for more wealth creation.
We could actually take all of it and then we could all live high on the hog for about 10 months.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
And then we'll start over. What a great idea.
And we'll make new billionaires.
The great reset.
And we'll steal from them.
Yeah.
So anyhow, I wanted to look at something because he talks about these 15 billionaires. And he uses it to make the point that there's no self-made billionaires. It's just people who inherited their wealth. And it's a convenient time to post this now because there are so many famous billionaires that we know of that are no longer under 30, but they used to be under 30 and they were billionaires when they were under 30, and they are not people who inherited their money. They're people who started companies that we know of. And then there's also people who were very close to 30. Now they say younger than 30, so I guess that's up to 29 because one of them is actually 30. And that doesn't actually count. So I guess under 30. But the thing is, it just depends on what your time horizon is, what your time parameters are. And then you have to ignore all of the other billionaires that actually did create their wealth, that didn't inherit their wealth, and that they were under 30 or they were 30 or they were 31. And that would go against your whole point. And so you don't want to talk about that at all. People like Mark Zuckerberg, who was 23. Now, I wouldn't say that he inherited his $99.6 billion that he's worth. He stole a social media company. Sorry, he started the social media company. Mm-hmm. I was just making a joke there about Mark Zuckerberg. So that's one. What about Evan Spiegel? He created an app that I've never cared about personally, but Snapchat. That's one. Okay. Became a billionaire.
Never made a profit.
In 2015 at 25. That's when he became a billionaire. Yeah, he didn't have to make money. But what did he do? Did he have a monopoly? I guess he had a monopoly on Snapchat. Didn't inherit this wealth. It was because of Snapchat. Didn't steal it. Didn't do any of the stuff Robert Reich talked about. And then you get some other people like Larry Page. Larry Page is a co-founder of Google. Google is a really big company. Larry Page became a billionaire when he was 30. Now, they said under 30 for these numbers. No, he's not 30 anymore. They're just talking about how old was he when he became a billionaire, and he was 30 when he became one, all right? That's when Bill Gates was 31 when he became a billionaire, all right? So that's also not just inherited wealth. They sold a freaking car and a calculator to get their business going, you know? If you go back to that story, Jeff Bezos was 35. When he became a billionaire. And so I just don't like the fact that now, currently, the snapshot, 15 out of the over 2,000 billionaires that there are out there are people who inherited this wealth from older billionaires that are out there. That says nothing about the way history has gone, says nothing about the important people who have started very important companies that we all use and enjoy or don't enjoy sometimes. It's just Robert Reich grifting and trying to get the government more power. He's really probably trying to sell more books and have more speaking engagements and stuff like that. Gets really annoying. So to go back to him, 5 ways to accumulate $1 billion. He never mentions creating a product or service that people use and enjoy, even though there are plenty of people that have done that. And to me, that's a very dangerous way to talk about this. So
I'm pasting a link for you to go.
Okay.
It's literally, it's from Forbes. And it's self-made women. And there's 24 of them on the list who are billionaires. These are self-made women.
How about that?
Yeah. So even Robert Reich says, don't believe the self-made myth. So what is this, a myth from Forbes?
Well, I mean,
are you about to pull up a myth?
Could be.
I don't know why I wouldn't make an actual link.
I mean, it's got to be the women are self-made. Okay.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift received no help from her family at all, or from anyone else. I mean, she's self-made.
Yes.
Okay. And these other two, I don't even know who they are.
But
they're self-made. Yeah. We know that. Who do we have? Diane. It's funny. I'm not going to know who any of these people are.
You will know some of them. You'll know some of them.
They don't say the specific companies here. They put the
Well, I know. So industry. I know number three there, Judy Faulkner. She is the founder of Epic. Epic, which is a health system software, EMR, that most hospitals use. It's the clinical documentation system and billing system and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Epic, based out of Wisconsin. Wisconsin, you know some of these. Let's move on down the list. Oprah Winfrey,
mm-hmm.
You know, TV shows. She's not self-made.
Well, she is self-made.
According to this list, Kim Kardashian, Rihanna. Sarah Blakely, that's the Spanx. She's 52. Sorry. I thought she was in her 40s.
Mm.
Tory Burch, you know, those Burch bags and stuff.
Wait, is Taylor Swift even on this list?
She's not on the billionaire list yet. So there's 24 billionaires. And then.
What? So America's richest self made women. It's not just billionaires. Okay. Mm-hmm. I got you.
This is of 2023, by the way, June. So
she might be by now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, she's a billionaire now.
Is she?
Yes. Swift is a billionaire.
Good for her.
But she's like 35, so she's not under 30.
All right, everyone, let's get the votes in for Dumb Bleep of the Week. If you're watching live on one of the other social media platforms, you're not going to be able to vote. That's because the Fed Haters Club gets the vote. You can go to joingmail.com and join our private Discord. You can give submissions for Dumb Bleep of the Week, and then we can all vote and see which one is the dumbest. Number one was Ukraine joining NATO and the U.S. not supporting Taiwan independence. Number two, Boston hospitals not reporting drug-addicted babies anymore because it might disproportionately affect black people. Number three, the Jan 6th man gets 7 years. Number four was Josh Echol with the most gun control in modern history. Is that what he said? Something like that. Number five, the economy is great, but the problem is you. Number six, Buffalo families sue social media companies. Number seven, net neutrality is back. And number eight is Robert Wright.
Wow, this is spread out.
It's getting spread out.
Yeah.
All right,
get your votes in. And while the live group is voting, you can join the live group. Maybe not be able to get your vote in right now. It's possible. Go sign up. Join gmail.com. If you sign up right now, maybe you can get in there and make a vote before Nate makes the determination on who the winner is going to be. Join gmail.com. Visit all the links in the show notes if you're listening on the podcast app. Go to the website goodmorningliberty.us for everything you need, or BernieLies.com. It's pretty easy there.
Yeah.
Because Bernie does lie. Support the sponsors that support this show.
Yeah, if you heard us talk about sponsors, go to those links and make sure you go to GodHatesFeds.com to get yourself a nice shirt. We need some people to pull some votes. We're split right now between the January 6th story and the economy is great story. We're going to narrow it down to those two. If you voted for something else, pull your vote and put it on one of those two. So we're doing like...
Oh, so you can pull votes in this voting system.
Well, we're going to narrow it. It's like a tournament now. So it's down to those final two. Ranked choice voting right now. Looks like it's going to be the economy is great, but the problem is you. Mm. That's the winner for Dumb Bleep of the Week. All right, folks, that's all we got for this Tuesday evening for Liberty at Night on the Free Talk Live Network. Remember, you can listen to Charlie and I every single day of the week when we want to on our daily podcast called Good Morning Liberty. Find us on your podcast app. If not, we'll see you next Tuesday night on Liberty at Night.
If you want to move to the free state and you're looking for some real estate, well, I know a guy who's really great. It's the Realtor Mark Warden.
Now you can learn more about the awesome things happening here in New Hampshire in our march toward liberty in our lifetime. Our friends at Porcupine Real Estate are hosting a series of webinars to educate you on the expanded freedoms enjoyed by New Hampshire citizens. Reserve your seat today at move.freetalklive.com. Topics include gun freedom, medical freedom, and political freedom victories. They also have a couple on best practices for moving to the free state and finding housing. These webinars are super helpful and free to attend once you've registered at move.freetalklive.com. Visit their YouTube channel, Porcupine Real Estate, for videos from past presentations and sign up for upcoming webinars for free at move.freetalklive.com.
PorcupineRealEstate.com.